Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes who like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Let me ask you, Dan.
Yes.
Before we go any further.
I would love to answer any questions.
All right. Are we opening the floor?
Just for one, though. We
just,
only have time
just
for one
question? Because yep. I had another question. But...
if it's a follow-up, I'll allow it.
Okay.
But otherwise, question.
Do you know a lot about Alex Jones?
I do.
Okay.
Follow-up.
Follow-up question. How much do I know about Alex
Not
Jones?
Not much.
All right. There we go.
That's the theme of
the show.
I think
that was a great bit. I think we fucking nailed that.
What was your follow-up? Oh, that was the follow-up?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be about my cool new Fitbit.
I knew you were going to talk about it.
I have to bring it up, guys. I'm a Fitbit guy
now.
Yeah,
there we go. Yeah.
I wanted to bring this up, and I didn't tell you before we started recording because I think it's fun.
Yeah.
And I don't do stand-up anymore, so I have to...
Are you about to sell me a bit? Is
I'm
that
not going
to
sell
it?
You a bit, but I'm going to make an observation that belongs on the stage. So,
have you ever noticed that white people be like this?
White people on Fitbits are like this. So the app, it has a thing where it buzzes your little armband at certain points. Like, it's hooked up to my phone.
Right.
So whenever I get a text, like when you texted me, I got a little buzz. But it also does it if you haven't moved in a while.
So it's an electric shock collar, is what you're saying.
It'll say, hey, want to take a walk?
God
damn it. If you haven't moved in a while.
All right.
And at work, that just is like, I do want to have a cigarette. So now this Fitbit is just reminding me to go take cigarette breaks.
All right. So the Fitbit is killing you.
It's killing my lungs, but helping my legs.
Yeah, there we go.
It's a compromise
Excellent.
We all got to make.
Right.
Something I like more than my Fitbit, though.
In terms of whether or not any of us are going to live to see lung cancer, my advice, smoke them if you got them.
Indeed. The world's going down. It's terrible. But something that's not terrible is our new donator.
Oh, shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to give a shout out and welcome to the fold of the policy wonks, John C.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you for joining up.
That was our make-a-wish, wasn't it, John Cena? That's exactly what just happened right now.
The champ is here. Also, I need to do this because I think I've fallen behind in terms of our foreign policy wonks.
Uh-huh.
We have a couple in the last week, and I think I might have given one a foreign policy wonk status, but I can't remember. So I'm just going to go through all of them.
All right.
Andrew.
Wait, these are people who've all upped their donations?
Indeed.
Fuck yeah, man.
Actually, I think Andrew definitely already did, but now that I've already said his name, got to do it anyway.
Too late now.
Congratulations on becoming a foreign policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to Jason.
I'm a policy wonk.
Now that I'm doing this, I think I've done this all already. I'm so up in my head that I can't remember.
All right.
Also, congratulations on becoming a foreign policy wonk, Scott.
I'm a policy wonk.
All right, there we go. That might have been excessive, and it might have been all in repetition, but I want to make sure that we got everybody covered. I'm not good at monitoring my email.
It's like you're scamming us. You're like, I don't know why I'm included, but it's like, hey, just a reminder, if you up your donation, we will give you another.
You're a foreign policy wonk.
Yeah, exactly.
I look, the real thing is I feel like I don't want to welch on stuff. You know, like I don't want to be one of these guys who says you're going to become a foreign policy wonk and then people come through and I just forget.
One of those guys?
One of those guys.
Is that a large
classic
group of...
characteristic.
Okay.
There are so many Kickstarters.
You go to fucking the Chicago Stock Exchange and all you can see is those guys who say, listen, you're going to be a foreign policy wonk, but they never follow through.
There's so many people who do Kickstarters and then just don't send out the prizes and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's endemic.
That seems like a problem.
It's pretty bad, but it also, cuts down on overhead.
Yes, lying and cheating people is definitely a hallmark of capitalism.
The stakes are real low for most people's creative Kickstarters. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to Sonia from Sweden. Sent me a nice email. I really appreciated that. Informed us that Alex Jones is wrong about Sweden. Which we already knew.
Which, yeah, you know what? We could have guessed that, but I have always wanted to marry a woman named Sonia from Sweden, so.
It almost is coming off as a cliche, and I'm worried that.
She's real. She's real, Dan. Don't, look.
I'm convinced that.
Where else do women named Sonia come from?
Mortal Kombat.
That's true.
She was an American, I believe.
Right.
I'm just convinced that
Red Sonja, she's
sure,
there. Yeah.
She's Russian.
For sure.
Everybody who likes us, I'm convinced, is fake. So that's why I just get up in my
head. Well, that's why John Cena donated. This whole thing has just been a make-a-wish for you, Dad.
I don't really give a shit.
We bought all these Twitter bots. We've got all these.
Oh, all these Twitter bots? All hundred.
Good point. Yeah. Good point. John Cena, again, is not making a big donation to the show. That's all.
I'm in a place of my life where maybe I'm an old man, but like, I know that the wrestling fans of the world don't like John Cena because he wins all the time. I don't care because I get to hear his theme song again if he wins.
Whose theme song?
John Cena.
What's his theme song?
Do, 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 do.
That's exactly what I was hoping for.
It's good horns. So, Jordan, before we get to today's episode,
yes.
I would like to just...
Are we still doing preamble? Everybody has already stopped listening by now.
We are, because I have a few things I need to say about the world at large. Well, actually, one main thing. I'm starting to become incredibly concerned about Joe Rogan. And this is something that our friend Far Out, friend of the show, has he brought to my attention a while back. But his most recent guest... was Peter Schiff, who's someone who we've spoke about on this show a lot.
Many times.
He's one of Alex Jones's favorite economists. And he went on Joe Rogan's show, and I listened to the first, like, 2 hours of it, and he's just talking all this bullshit about how he moved his business to Puerto Rico to avoid federal tax.
That's not great.
He believes that the minimum wage should be nothing, because if you don't have the skills to earn a high wage, it's your fault.
All right.
It's all these ideas.
Children should work in coal mines.
Of course. They gotta learn skills.
Yeah, exactly.
And it should be for like a dollar an hour because they're children. They don't have the skills yet. They don't have a resume built up.
No, it's about, it's about exposure, really, is what it is.
He's dropping all these noxious ideas, of libertarianism, and I don't know what Joe Rogan's deal is now. Because he's had a string of these alt-right libertarian ding-dongs on his show pretty consistently, mixed in with, you know, your Joey Diaz's and the standard guest he has.
Right.
But I'm becoming super worried because he was not challenging Peter Schiff's ideas at all and was just signing off on them and saying, oh, that makes sense. Why does no one talk about this? Well, it's like, well... A lot of people do.
Why does no one talk about
your new fan base is going to quite a bit.
You know, it's weird. I was watching the live stream, and you can see the video, and he put some Super Male Vitality on a burger and just ate it during Peter Schiff's shit.
He might as well.
Yeah.
He might as well. He is like he seems smarter and yells less, but he's becoming Alex Jones. It's deeply troubling.
You know what? I'm starting to think it's all CTE.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it's just
wow.
these people have been hitting ahead a bunch.
That is something that Alex and Joe have in common.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, that's what I'm saying.
That could be. My cat is humping the wall. All right, I think she's done now.
All right. Why do you think Tom Brady is a Trump supporter?
Guy.
Trump supporter?
So your argument would be that the entire NFL basically supports Trump.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's 100%. Why they hate Kaepernick so much.
100%. That's why they hate Kaepernick, yeah.
And Kaepernick didn't get a whole lot of playing time, not a lot of time to get sacked. Therefore, he is safe from the CTE.
There we go.
Oh, boy.
There we go.
We might have cracked the code. Anyway.
Is that
Anyway, my point that I wanted to make is I'm deeply concerned about this growing and spreading disease, and further really worried that Joe Rogan's fan base is incredibly impressionable. They look up to him as an icon in the same way that I looked up to Adam Carolla when I was in junior high.
Right.
In high school, you know?
Right.
And I'm concerned about them being exposed to Peter Schiff, talking his ass off for 2 hours, more or less unchallenged by Rogan, or at least when he challenges him, it's really, it's soft. It's really kid glovesy kind of stuff. And they never even get to the part or really discuss the fact that Peter Schiff believes that taxation is a crime against people.
Does he pay tax? Wait.
He doesn't.
He lives in Puerto Rico
to escape taxes.
All right. Well, then we shouldn't allow him to have roads or... all the stuff.
Well, apparently there's like...
Let's take his feet. That's what I... If you don't want to pay federal income tax, that is fine. I recognize
no feet.
And support your decision. No feet.
All right.
Those are the rules. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm pissed off, and whatever. Who cares? I will deal with it in my own ways, which will probably be drinking tons of this black raspberry sparkling water.
Oh shit, over. That's right. We are drinking nice.
It is an exclamation point.
Yeah, there's definitely an exclamation point. It's like the Steven Soderbergh movie, The Informant.
Yeah.
It's black raspberry sparkling water.
Or the band Panic at the Disco. So today we're going to be discussing the August 23rd, 2017 episode of the Alex Jones Show. That was Wednesday of this week.
We're in the present.
We are. There is.
Do we have to be?
We do.
Can I call an audible during the show? Is that possible?
It would take the rest of the night for us to call an audible.
Right.
That would be no good.
I've already vamped for roughly 15 seconds. I can probably do it for about four to 6 hours.
You can just do a soliloquy while I pull clips. No. They're
it's
actually
a filibuster.
This episode,
I am filibustering the present, Dan.
This episode sucks on a number of levels, but it's worth it for at least three or four moments that no one is discussing.
Okay.
That really deserve some attention.
All right.
And unfortunately, we're probably going to have to talk for a minute about Joe Arpaio. I know that sucks, but we'll keep it to a minimum. But before we get to today's episode, here's a nice out of context drop from Alex Jones.
Boy, if that's Alzheimer's, I want some.
Yeah, great. What an idiot.
All right.
What All an right. idiot.
I like that.
Yeah. So
I'm going to use that.
That was in
I'm
reference.
I use that more often in a regular conversation.
Just see.
Boy, if that's Alzheimer's, I want it.
That was in reference to Trump's speech that he gave in Phoenix.
Oh, the one where it kind of sounded like Trump has Alzheimer's?
The one where he was crazy as shit.
Yeah, one where he's a fucking lunatic who is still legitimately our president, even though, even by doing that fucking thing, he probably broke at least three or four different things. Like, he had a public official on a campaign trail. Yeah. That's illegal!
Yeah, that's like...
That's illegal!
The Hatch Act?
Yeah, and everybody's just fucking fine with it, because it's 1,000 on the list of shit that's going wrong.
Yeah.
We don't have laws anymore.
Yeah.
We just don't have laws.
I tried to stammer my way through that like I was Bob Newhart. I fucked it up. Couldn't come to an actual sentence at the end of it. So he talks a bit about the speech in Phoenix.
Right.
And that's how he decides to start things off.
Oh boy.
Donald Trump is so incredibly riveting. I can't turn away. This is the ultimate reality show. He's a real president.
That is true.
He's surrounded by total criminals trying to kill him. He's doing the best job he can to try to turn the economy around. It's Afghanistan expansion, if you believe it's really an expansion.
Prison break.
The jury's out on that. But then I watched live last night that hour plus long just volley after volley of truth against the scum, and then to watch them lie and just before the speech in Phoenix and after the speech, and just a wall of fraud. Everything they say about him is what they're doing. And it made my head spin. An example was all over the Phoenix and national news, it was bikers rally against Trump. And then they'd show shots from 300 yards away of bikers. And I went, wait, those are bikers for Trump. And then it was, but they wanted to make it look like everyone was against Trump. They are going beyond any level of lies the Soviet Union or anybody ever else. North Korean propaganda has nothing on this.
You know, when in North Korea, when they're like, hey, those bikers, they don't like Kim Jong-un.
Right.
And then it turns out they do. That's
nothing is beyond that.
Next level stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I believe from everything I can tell, there was an article that characterized a couple biker groups and said that some were against Trump when they were for.
Oh, well, that proves it. The mainstream media is all lies.
But it was also in the context of there being a lot of groups that were going to protest.
Yeah.
And there were some that were coming to support. And so the article itself had to do with both sides of the demonstrations. And, yeah, Alex only reads headlines, and the headline was fucked up.
I don't care.
No, totally.
This is
totally.
The thing about
Big
that.
Big time.
It's, the size of his rally wasn't equal to the size of the protesters. I don't care. The size of the protesters wasn't equal to the size of the rally. I don't care.
No, but
he should be gone.
Did you see?
Why aren't we getting rid of him? His rally size is zero. Did you on my list of who gives a fuck?
Did you see the guy who posts? He every time there's been a rally, he posts that image of the Cavaliers celebration.
Yeah, that's
parade.
Pretty funny.
And people just didn't realize, like, these people who have, like, he presents it as this is the outside of the Trump rally.
Yeah,
when it's the Cleveland Cavaliers NBA Finals celebration parade.
Right,
and he's done it
because he doesn't have the balls to use the Cubs World Series championship.
That'd
parade.
Be blue hats.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta have red hats.
Right.
But it, like, he's done it apparently for every rally, and conservative ding-dongs still don't catch on. Ann Coulter retweeted it.
It's hilarious. So
it's like, what
he
the
has
fuck?
To be. He has to be trolling these stupid people. Right?
He is.
Yeah,
yeah,
100%. Of course.
I read an article about him that it was like, yeah, look, I'm just a sports guy. If you look down my feed, you can tell I'm fucking with people.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just love that. That's the only thing I care about in terms of his crowd sizes.
Here's my question. Yeah. Why did he say the jury's still out on Afghanistan?
Oh, because there was a little bit of a cut there. I don't know why. I think it was a little glitch in the recorder.
Uh-huh.
But what he's saying is that Trump was doing bad stuff with increasing the troop levels.
Right.
But the jury's still out on okay, Alex's narrative, he doesn't spell it out on this episode, but his narrative is that Trump is trolling people by saying he's going to raise the troop levels and then pull them all out. He's trying to trick McMaster into a false sense of security, and then he's going to pull the rug out from under his globalist ass. Yeah. So that's why the jury's out.
That's the craziest thing I've ever fucking heard in my entire life.
Hey, bye. Jury, not out.
What is that? What does that fucking mean?
Alex is really grasping at straws, number one. That's what it means.
Yeah.
Number two, it's just, I mean, he knows that it's bad. That's what it really means. Alex knows that the idea of sending more troops to Afghanistan is bad. He can't support it because he has a long documented record of being against the war in Afghanistan, being against everything that the Bushes, Clintons, and Obama did in terms of wars.
Right.
And so if Trump follows the same path, he's going to be very exposed, or he's going to have to be against him.
Right.
And I don't think he's ready to jump off that train yet. A lot of people keep saying, hey, is he gonna, you know, Bannon's gone now, is Alex gonna turn? And my response constantly is no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
Roger Stone's still on board, Alex is gonna still be on board.
That's a good point.
I don't think that they're a
package deal.
Roger
Stone is our real bellwether here, probably.
Yeah, and especially when you see Roger Stone turning on Bannon, that's when you know, like, oh, okay, we're just gonna have a false schism here.
Yeah.
But anyway, Alex says that he's going to go over all of the clips from Trump's rally.
I'm assuming he does.
I'm gonna break it down for you. He plays two.
Okay.
He plays one twice.
Each of them, how long was the rally? 77 minutes. Okay, so each of them about 37 and a half minutes.
You might be right if you were saying seconds. he plays one where he says that the media is really fucking awful and they're the enemy. He plays that clip twice. And then, spoiler alert, Joe Arpaio is a guest on this episode. And he plays-
Wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Joe Arpaio is on.
He's not in prison?
No.
How is he not in prison?
He might have been Skyping in from prison.
How is he not dead?
That's a better question. But before he does the interview with Arpaio, he plays the clip where Trump is like, do you guys like Sheriff Joe? And the place went crazy. So he plays those two clips, but he keeps saying, I'm gonna play all of them. We're gonna get into it. I'm gonna do some analysis of it. But he can't, because I think he's drunk.
Oh, all right. Here we go.
I think
now we're in it.
I think Alex is either drunk or in the middle of a manic episode or both. And I'm leaning towards both.
Okay.
And you'll see the behavior on this episode is quite different than usual. Even for 2017, there is so much ranting, so much losing track of where he is. And the way this episode ends is exactly like the March 30th. Episode where he was wasted off his ass, with the exception of he doesn't have Rob Dew sitting next to him in a jacket waiting to leave.
So we're back to the four ways to learn.
We will be by the end of this, sort of.
All right.
At least in tone.
All right.
But before we do, because it's a 3-hour show, the buzz is going to be very different throughout. And at this point, he's just good and worked up drunk, as I believe. So here he wants to talk about the globalists, of course.
They're bad.
They're pretty bad. And also, they're spider-like.
All right.
It's just crazy. I can't even respond anymore. It's just it is a full-on upside-down world where they're creating an entire false reality and then having for consensus. You wonder why CNN, MSNBC, their shows have 6, 7, 8, 10 panelists on at a time, all just going, we agree, we agree, we agree. The talking points put out, and
then
they all just parrot in some groupthink for the weakest minded people who tune in to somehow think this is consensus. And then you see the folks that buy the propaganda, they are the dumbest slobs, the most helpless people.
So we'll get back to that in a second. We'll get to the spider part. But yeah, I agree. That is shitty presentation of the news.
Yeah.
Good point. Good meaningless point that you're making, Alex. I don't, but I would like to say that the exact same thing is being done by Trump with all of the bots. There have been a couple of new studies that have come out following a lot of these bots. And if you really look at it, it's pretty impressive. The clear organization.
Yeah. The one that made the rounds on Twitter that I saw that was
the one today.
The one that was, all of this guy's tweets are from 8 to 8 or whatever.
Russia time.
Yeah. Almost as if he does it for a living.
Yeah, and that was part of an investigation that followed the people who have a name and then 8 numbers after their name.
Yeah.
Which seems to be a naming protocol for a lot of these bots.
Right.
There's a lot of really fucked up stuff, but Alex is totally right, but about the wrong thing.
Yeah.
It's this idea of trying to manufacture the appearance of consensus and agreement, and people who fall for it are fucking stupid. And that's very true of the people who think that these Trump bots are real. And, believe me, there are a ton of people who do.
Well, you can see the things that, like, the telling one for me is when he said, it's the groupthink that attacks the weakest minded people. And you're like,
you're
talking about you.
Yeah.
That's another reason
I think he's drunk.
Well, and that's what they're always really, cause I think that's the heart of so much of this is, deep distrust for anyone who knows anything.
Yeah.
The idea of knowing something is offensive to people who think it should be something you feel.
Yeah, well, I mean, faith-based views of life versus empirical evidence.
Right.
Empirical evidence is always going to be more confident, certainly, than faith-based people, though faith-based people...
No, that's the exact opposite.
No, but that's what I was going to say, is faith-based people will always feign the confidence that fact-based people have.
Right.
And it's always very frustrating.
Well, the same people who strongly approve of Trump's presidency are the people who disagree or who deny climate change. And that's not even Exxon. They just released the Harvard study where they're like, oh yeah, Exxon knew climate change was an issue in the fucking 70s.
Yep. And paid so much money.
Yeah.
To switch everyone's thinking into faith-based thinking.
Yeah.
That, oh no, it's about carbon taxes that Al Gore wants.
That's what it is.
Yeah, of course.
Al Gore? Globalist.
Sneaky spider-like globalist. So let's get back to these spiders.
And the globalists are in the WikiLeaks. Like spiders discussing moths or flies they've tied up in their webs. Ah, this one will be delicious. Oh, I hate the scum. They don't taste as good as they used to. I mean, it's basically like that. I have a lot of my pretties tied up, but they're starting to struggle. What do we do? We'll have them fight with each other then.
That's the wicked witch.
I mean, it's like demon spiders talking to each other. And I'm like, God, we're ruled by this? How the hell is this happening?
Spiders discussing moths.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, check out this dude's camouflage. This is bullshit, right? I caught it immediately.
Yeah, I just flew right into my net.
Fucking idiot. I'm right by a light, these guys.
This
flies. They think it's the moon.
This flies a dum-dum.
I don't know why my spider has a bit of a New Jersey in him.
I don't know. It's a bit like, I mean, come on. I don't even know what to do with that.
Well, I think that already I'm on your he's drunk tip because he's talking about spiders and then he's clearly doing the Wicked Witch from Wizard of Oz.
That's a strange jump. But also I have noticed that when he's in these moods and whether it is just a harsh manic episode or he's drunk, there's a lot of projecting that's being done.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of tricking people and stuff like that, manufacturing consensus, that's stuff that he does a lot too. And so when he's talking about like trying to trick dumb people, he knows that that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
He can't not think, he can't possibly think his audience is smart. He there's literally no way. He pitched Purple Penguins for 6 months plus.
And he nailed it.
But there's no way that if he had faith in his audience, like I do, I've not met most of our listeners. But I have faith.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought you said you had faith in his audience.
No, no, no.
You need to work on your pronoun usage.
Pardon me.
I don't have faith in your pronoun usage, Dan. That's what's going on right
now. Fair enough. What I'm saying is, I'm confident that if anybody who's listening to this show looked up the Purple Penguin stuff, they would easily see that we are telling the truth about it, and Alex Jones lied about it for 6 months.
Oh, absolutely.
Alex Jones is totally confident knowing that his audience will either just blindly trust whatever bullshit he's saying, or if they do look it up, they'll look it up on Zero Hedge or WorldNet Daily, and they'll just see, oh, there's confirmation that Alex is right, instead of digging a little bit deeper, finding the primary source. So, I mean, he's projecting like crazy and doing spider voices to distract people from it. It's...
Yeah, he's jangling keys.
Yeah, yeah, basically. And also, he ends up, like, fake crying a little bit later, which is fun. Which is always
I'm excited about the fake cry. So I haven't heard a good fake cry in a while.
Well, here's a good fake lie. That's a real lie. This goes into Alex's victim complex, this next clip.
And then there is such a hunger. I mean, they've got a $10 million contract out, we've confirmed.
With who or what?
To news. To pay. They pay grants. To the New York Times and CNN and all these things, they pay writers to write stories lying about us. And they can't find anything.
We have.
And when they make stuff up, it blows up in their face. And I just, you realize they hate me because I see through them, you see through them, and I'm here letting you know you're not insane. When you see their wall of lies, you know there's other people that recognize it as well. We have solidarity. They want to break that off. They want you alone. They want you desperate. They want to force you through peer pressure to join their false reality.
You're not insane.
Yeah. The first thing, obviously, is that's if that – first of all, it's not true, the $10 million contract thing. But if it is, that's foolish money spent. Give us some of that money. Hey, globalists. Hit up your boys.
I also like the indignation he has towards paying writers.
Right. I think that that's trying to harken back to the Google delisting narrative that he had a few months back.
Okay.
I think it's going back to that, because I think that was $10 million too in his narrative. But anyway, it's all bullshit.
Well, they confirmed it.
It's bullshit.
They confirmed
it. But also, I love that he's like, the $10 million contract to news.
Yeah, that was... $10 million contract to news. You know, New York Times,
Washington
Post. Gonna
write this check up to news. But then,
like the movie Blank Check.
Yeah. Except with no Tone Loc. Tone Loc's not great. Never mind. I take it back. I was going to say he's awesome. He's not.
Surf Ninjas, he was the best.
He wrote a song about the date rape drug.
That was so not great. That was not great. I will admit.
That is not funky.
No. It is not cold.
It's pretty cold.
It's a little Medina.
Alex is also, this is more projection. The idea that they want you to feel alone and stuff like that, because he obviously benefits from people isolating themselves. Like if you go into normal society and just regular people and start saying things that you heard on InfoWars, like you believe them, people are going to naturally get away from you.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, this is a weirdo.
Right.
I don't want to talk to this person. And that feeds the isolation. And, I mean, we've talked about this in the past. It's cult stuff. It's just, he's doing that and saying that this is what the news wants you to feel. The news wants you to feel like no one else likes Trump. But you're not alone. You got us.
Yeah, that is one of the recurring themes throughout all of the alt-right. And it throughout Gamergate, throughout all of this stuff is people who are isolated, and that is always the narrative for why the internet turned out to be bad, is all of these people who are isolated wound up finding each other and then creating that feedback loop of horrible bigotry and racism that is really built out of their own insecurities.
Yes.
Their own fears of women, of colored people, of their bodies, of spiders, the Wizard of Oz,
You think that Alex's rant came from the internet?
His insecure fear of spiders.
I mean, look, if he's afraid of spiders, good on him. I understand. Spiders are weird. They're really weird.
Spiders are our friends, Dan.
No, they're not.
Let me tell you about a little story.
Got to go to the next clip.
It's about some pig. It's about some pig, and he was some pig, Dan.
So this next clip.
And no one would have known about it.
This next
clip. If it weren't for the Wicked Witch of Wizard of Oz, the spider.
This next clip, Alex really expresses, basically just how excited he is to be relevant. But I,
that sounds dead on.
I don't think he intends for that to be what comes out of his mouth, but it is.
And I don't want anything to do with these people. We have the epic excerpts coming up. And it's just, I can't turn away. Plus, I'm right in the middle of it. I'm like the number two enemy now. Bannon has receded. I'm definitely the number two target. And it's
I'll give you like
it
six.
Is surreal. I mean, literal goblin creatures attacking. I mean,
fake laugh.
Sure.
Wow.
Literal goblins.
Literal goblin creatures?
Literal goblin creatures. Now hold on to that because it's going to come back. But.
Well, if there are literal goblin creatures, that is all I would be talking about for days.
What's he
are you shitting me? I saw a literal goblin. I would shoehorn that into any and every conversation that
just,
I was
just
having.
Just at a cocktail party, everyone's like, hey,
absolutely.
What do you do for a living?
Oh, I just saw this documentary on little goblin creatures? No? Then shut the fuck up!
Yeah. Look, I need to make a documentary about these little goblin creatures so everyone will fucking talk about it at cocktail parties, but I can't because I can't get the funding. Can I please have $10 million contracts?
Make it out to news!
Hello, Jimmy News. So, yeah, he...
Have you heard about these little goblin creatures?
So, that is him just being like, I'm important. Yeah. I love it. I love it that people are talking about me, which kind of makes you think that no matter how bad an idea it is to hitch his team to, Trump's wagon, because make no mistake, Alex is pulling this thing along. It's not the other way around, really,
right.
I don't think.
Right.
But, even as much of a bad idea as that is, he loves it.
Oh, of course.
Because it's attention. It's, even if it's negative, he loves it.
The idea of being the number two enemy of anyone is such an attractive proposition if you're obsessed with obtaining any kind of power or influence.
And like, he's delusional. Like,
right.
Sessions is much higher.
Right.
Let's say.
Holy shit.
Or Roger Stone.
The number of enemies.
He's not even the number one enemy at InfoWars, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, Roger Stone is much more of a target than him.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I think without...
Dude, people are talking about him being investigated by Mueller, all right? He's part of that.
Alex Jones
is on the way far out on the periphery, if he's even in the conversation.
So, interesting.
Anyway.
That's a debate for another time.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with this clip. I can't really set it up. I don't know what to do with it. So here, enjoy.
So play it.
Yeah.
You've got to be lowered first before you can even be on the level to have this done to you. And the gate through which you entered into this evil is people seeking power and to not have fear and to be enlightened and be as gods and be on power trips and be so positive. But it's only the image of the universe you have in your mind, the image of God that you can begin to understand. You are not that thing that you can sense. And the devil says, oh, you are that thing. Here, I have a path for you and you will attain it. But all you will attain is falling, not rising.
Is this E.E. Cummings? So much depends on the
how do
wheel
I
there,
cover though. All this? The epic rampage against tyranny.
That's
last
not E.E.
night
Cummings. I know that
by President Trump. Beautiful.
So I mean that long pause is just like him staring. Like what do I do?
What did he just say? Try and explain to. I wrote down as much of that as I can, and I have no idea what it was he said.
So the beginning of it, the premise
William Carlos Williams, by the way. So much depends on the
it's Don Juan.
I lit major. I have to get that out.
Sure. Otherwise, you couldn't sleep tonight.
Otherwise, I could not sleep. I'd just be staring at Twitter, refreshing, like, who's going to fucking call me out because I'm going to come at him.
Come get some. I know. I know it was Don Juan. The beginning of it.
Yeah, come on. E. Cummings is upside down, fuck me. Now
oh,
I can't
no.
remember it.
Oh no.
Fuck me.
Oh, Jesus. You're going to be taken to the woodshed for
it's
this.
It's over.
So, the beginning part is about that narrative that he has that in order for the globalists to attack you, they first have to bring you down and dumb you down and make you impotent and stuff like that.
Yeah, lowered onto the level to have this done to you.
That's what, and then for have it done to you is not clear.
No.
There's context clues we can take. I guess destroy you? I'm guessing. I don't know. So then, what else? What other questions do you have?
It's done to you by people seeking power as of gods.
Right.
There was a bunch of that, but it was just synonyms for that kind of situation.
Right.
And it's in the image of God, you can begin to see yourself that you are not like that.
Uh-huh.
And then Satan says, you are like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is no follow-up to that.
I'm starting to
I don't know what the image of or is on not.
Here's what I want to believe, because I'm kind of into it, and it would be awesome if Alex was into this too. But I'm thinking maybe what he's saying is that we aren't our fleshy bodies.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Okay.
And the devil wants you to think that you are your fleshy body. But what you are is actually a spark of the divine that rests within you, and that is your soul or whatever.
Right.
I look at
are
that.
Are you sure he wasn't saying, anyone lived in a pretty how town?
Is
with up
e,
so
is
floating,
E. Cummings?
Many bells down? Yes, it's goddamn E. Cummings. I remembered it.
All right. I might be bringing my own stuff to this, but it sounds like it's almost like a Gnostic thing. It's almost like the devil that he's talking about is the demiurge that created the physical world that we're trapped in.
Okay.
And if you want to go that route, then Prison Planet might not even be about the globalists. It could be like
the
whole thing is a Gnostic idea.
Yeah.
And if that's true, holy shit.
We just broke the real story here.
It's not, though. It's not, because even...
No, because this is a drunken ramble that has nothing to do with fucking anything. He doesn't know what he's fucking talking about. He's just stringing together whatever words are coming out of his mouth. These are half-thoughts that are just, like, it feels like he is having a manic episode because he is stringing along all of these words, which are... utterly incapable of keeping up with his thoughts.
Boy, do they sound like he's trying to get to something.
Yeah, of
it
course.
It really sounds like he has an idea. And maybe he has the kernel of one. But be that as it may, it takes a turn. And here's this next clip.
We're just getting ready to figure out all the violations we've been under, who's best to, you know, go after here with the best case. Not because I'm litigious, skip this break, but because I absolutely have to do this and other people have to do it. And the lawsuits are being started by others right now, too. And Congress is moving. You know why they're so scared?
Why?
They're so scared because Joe Arpaio's coming on to give us the first big interview today, which I didn't even ask for, the first exclusive. I'm honored.
Oh, does he get hit by a fucking media?
He just couldn't believe that we stood up for him when even Fox News wasn't covering that he'd been convicted and was going to spend years in prison.
Is it because he's a monster?
For fake contempt charge by a federal Obama judge.
Federal Obama judge.
Wouldn't even have a jury. But it's not
a
big deal overall that we got the info to Trump, and I'm just going to leave it at that, and others did as well.
Federal Obama judge.
I don't even know if I want our pilot to come on and thank us for all this and give the inside baseball because it gives the media too much of a hissy fit, but who cares? The point is that it isn't about even the pardon for Arpaio that's the right thing to do. Trump did not even know that this was happening because they had him so isolated. And when he finally learned about it from Infowars.com and Drudge Report, this is directly from the president, and then folks had a chance to talk to him, he called Arpaio and told him where he learned about it and said, my God, I didn't know this was going on for months. We're going to get the lawyers to look at a pardon for you. And it almost happened last night. I mean, we told folks he was going to talk about it last night. And I don't want to get into inside baseball because this isn't sycophantic stuff about back channels, the president, and all the rest of it. I mean, they talk about it on Fox. They talk about it in the Armed Services Committee hearings in Congress. The president knows who's fighting for this republic and who is fearless like he is, who is committed. When I say fearless, I don't have fear of the enemy.
Psychopathic murderers?
I'm not good enough for this.
He fears he's not good enough for this. Now, I think federal...
I want blood to stream from Arpaio's nostrils.
It'd be great.
And eyes.
Spoiler alert.
And mouth.
It doesn't on air.
And ears. And just every essence of his is just drained out of him.
I
want him dead. I want him dead.
I wanted
legally?
I wanted to...
Shrug?
I wanted to go over the stuff about how awful Joe Arpaio is. But the last time we tried to do that on the show, you almost threw up. So,
He's a true fucking monster. If he is pardoned, fucking pardon John Wayne Gacy.
Sure.
Like, who fucking cares at this
point?
It's
Thunderdome.
Laws aren't real. Let's just, if only the strong survive and murderers win everything always. Fuck John Arpaio.
Suffice it to say.
Or whatever the fuck his goddamn Arpaio fucking name is. I hope he dies.
Suffice it to say that he presided over the Maricopa County Police Department, and was shown to, I believe the quote was, demonstrate the worst pattern of racial profiling in our country's history. He was told repeatedly by judges that he cannot racially profile people, and he consistently refused to change any of his practices. Beyond that,
he's a murderer.
He deprived
he's
people
a legitimate murderer.
Of human rights.
He is a murderer.
In prison, people who were waiting for trials, he would give people moldy food, basically unlivable conditions that they
people
had to stay
in. People are in prison for 20 years for a gram of coke.
Yep.
And Arpaio is a fucking mass murderer. He is a serial killer.
No, because the deaths didn't come close to each other. That's sort of a definition of serial killer. Doesn't have to be like, within.
No way.
I think it has to be within a patch of time. Okay.
Nah.
Fine.
Nah.
He's responsible, much like Sheriff Clark, for tons of negligence and, beyond negligence related deaths in his facilities. And beyond that, just for fun, if you want to go listen to the Dennis Montgomery episode, we talked about a time that he and his officers, got caught for entrapment because they convinced someone to create a pipe bomb, a fake pipe bomb, attack on Joe Arpaio in order to boost his chances of reelection.
Yep.
Entrapment is incredibly difficult to prove, but it turned out that the officers of the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department had bought the bomb equipment and had, there was records of their conversations telling this guy, to do it. And this kid ended up serving like 9 years in prison because of it before he got free. So
that's usually a sign of a serial killer is they think they're smarter than law enforcement.
And when you are law enforcement.
They are law enforcement.
Yeah.
They didn't realize that there was a higher power beyond them.
I'm smarter than myself.
Yeah. Fucking monster.
So the other thing is, Obama federal judge sounds great, but I would like Obama.
Federal Obama judge.
I would like a small claims Obama judge.
Ooh.
That's what I would like to see.
That's not too bad.
That would be a daytime show.
Like a Judge Judy.
Yes.
But a small claims federal Obama judge.
But globalist. So the other thing.
Do you submit to lowering yourself so I can do it to you?
Is he just talking about backing it up? Bow, bow, bow.
So not.
The other thing I needed to bring up in that clip is that Alex says that Donald Trump called Joe Arpaio when he found out what was going on.
From InfoWars and Drudge.
Yes, he learned about, well, the narrative as Alex would tell it is that Jerome Corsi wrote an article about it and Drudge reposted it. Donald Trump heard about it and he called Joe Arpaio and said, we're going to take care of this, you know, whatever. When Joe Arpaio is on the show, he flatly contradicts that. Not in a correcting way, but he literally says, Donald Trump didn't call me. Nobody from his campaign called me.
Yeah.
So Alex is just making that up.
Alex is just lying.
Yeah.
Even psychopathic serial killer Joe Arpaio, which is the only way that he should be referred to from here on out.
Yeah.
Is unwilling to go along with that lie.
Yeah, because he has every reason to be like, yes, absolutely, Trump did call me.
Right.
He spends most of the interview, which we're not going to talk about too much, just sucking Trump's dick on InfoWars. He's just talking about how I'll never leave him. He's the greatest.
Great.
All this bullshit.
Yeah, well, he can't.
There was only one really funny part where Alex is like, what are you, 85? And Arpaio's like, why do you have to bring that up? He's like, no, I'm saying you're wizened.
You're wizened. Ugh. Yeah. Ugh.
So also
shriveled.
Also fun in there, Alex is like claiming he's going to start suing people. That will also come back a little bit later in the episode.
That also won't happen.
So this next clip is a little bit of a longer rant. The spirit gets in him. I think what starts the rant is thinking about having kids. I think. I believe that that's what gets stuck in his craw and why he ends up launching on this. I believe it's like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Of just, there was no way I could cut it, at any point. Like it was just like, well, here goes. He's just rolling. But I want to remind you that the reason he probably feels like he needs to have kids, because he does discuss it in this clip in the context of like Islamicists and stuff like that, is because he wants more white children.
He wants more white children.
They talk about birth rates and stuff like that. Not in this clip, but
like,
he does a lot.
White nationalists.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when he talks about having
kids.
We're
being outbred.
But when he talks about having more kids and stuff like that, it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking like, oh, you just want a big family and not that. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a responsibility to have more kids, which is what white nationalists say.
So that the white race is not diminished.
Right.
And does not become the minority that they so fear.
Yep. So here is the beginning of the long clip. We'll just pause it if we need to, but
I don't say that to sound, you know, like terrible night. I mean, I feel absolutely not strong enough, and I don't have enough will to beat them quicker, because these people are absolutely evil. They literally hate you and your family. They're a bunch of pedophiles running it. That's another reason they like Islam, is because pedophilia is legal in it.
Are we playing bingo?
I cannot believe how desperate straights were in. And people say, well, why do you keep having kids then? Because I'm doubling down. I'm putting... My ancestors didn't give up. I'm not giving up. My kids aren't giving up. And I'm just going to just, I love them so much. The more children I have, the stronger I get, because I'm fighting for them. And the light in their eyes gives me strength and a connection right to God. And I'm never giving up.
I'm never giving up.
I'm going to get stronger. In fact, I can't even handle the strength and discernment I'm getting day by day. It is so humbling to be moved closer to God and under God's wings. And then to be able to see the enemy even that much clearer. It is just.
God doesn't have
this
wings.
This is good and evil, right and wrong. That's all this God is. It's spiritual. The devil's real. This whole thing's satanic. World government, microchips, genetic engineering. It's already here, people.
Move, bitch. Get out the way.
And you're not going to get away from it by joining it or trying to hide. The only way to get out. I'm here with my children. They basically built this modern civilization as a tomb to bury us alive in. And there's one door to get out of. And the globalist and his, all the minions, the devil, are standing in that door. And they know we've got God on our side, and we can get out of the door if we ask God for the help and then take action.
Like a clown car.
Don't worry about your body, folks. You worry about who can get your soul forever. They want you to be with them forever in their ugliness and their misery. And they know it. And they're conscious. And they understand it. And they hate you. And they are absolutely sworn to destroy you. This is not the time to hedge bets, ladies and gentlemen. This is the time to get on your knees and ask God to lead, guide, and direct you. This is the time.
Unless you're threatened with death, in which case,
for the rest
say,
of eternity,
nah.
Which side you're on, because it's an absolute infinity fact.
All right. We got a new level of policy
walk. Take a look where we're at, folks. Bible's dead on. It's here. And it wants one thing: to get you
no selfish
in its grasp and to take you down. We're going through it.
This bitch is drunk.
We're going through it.
Getting in it.
And the devil is going to be behind us again. And you can already see we're pulling away. Our hearts, our minds, our souls, and the enemy is just, no!
That your contradicts what you said earlier.
Us! No!
You said you were winning, and now you're saying that you're losing.
We are the authority. You will bow to us. You will submit to us.
The score is never clear.
But you should be on your knees.
But you're not going
to
beat the devil with your will.
To submit to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're
way
going
lower.
To beat the devil with God's will. And you're not going to find that will at these little satanic churches run by these little glitter bugs up there that are scared to death. And at nighttime, get down on their knees to Satan because they're so scared of the devil.
I think we do have bingo.
You're going to find God by asking God to come into your heart. You want to beat the enemy? That's where it is. You want to be free of this scum? Because this isn't like some football game or some competitive thing or some pissing contest where we're trying to be the guys running things and not the liberals.
No, that is what you're trying to be. You just said it.
This is survival. This is survival.
Mm.
And so.
What did glitterbugs do to you?
You've got to say, oh, you threatened me and my family. I'm going to put more into the world for me to love.
What?
Okay.
With God. I'm going to hang myself out there right there for you because we've transcended you cowards. Because that's who you are at the end of the day, is a bunch of scum, a bunch of anti-human trash that hates success and hates beauty and hates Genesis.
But they're glitter bugs, so they love
you. Your lovers of death. What's Genesis? Life. All its beauty, all its permutations exploded throughout the stars, throughout time and space.
You probably almost threw up right there. There's like a
death
weird
is only the little separations about? Between all the rest of life. The flickers in and out. The pulse.
Beep, beep. Okay. Beep, beep.
The great equalizer.
What is that?
Because the evil doesn't transmit forward. It tries to, that but makes, it can't.
I don't know what that is. The evil doesn't transmit forward?
No idea.
It can only burn out wherever it gets a hold. And sit there cold for eons.
That's Lovecraft. that's straight up that's... like, what is dead may not die.
Yeah. I promise I'm going to play all the clips when we come back.
Even I forgot that was at the end there.
That was the alternate name. That was the working title of that Kevin Spacey movie.
What? No,
the evil. Play. The evil cannot transmit it forward.
Oh, pay it forward.
Pay it forward. Yeah, yeah. They wisely shortened it.
Okay. I thought you meant like K-Pax was called. I promise I'm going to play all the clips.
That'd
so
be great.
That if I were judging that as like a wrestler doing a promo, I would say you need to tighten it up. I would say you're getting off track a little bit. I know you got a big match with The Undertaker coming up.
Right.
But you're going off on too many derivations. We can't have you in the ring for 5 minutes. You can't handle it. You gotta give it a, Alex, get a
I'm guessing his ring work would be pretty well, but Alex, I doubt his promos would,
Alex, get a teleprompter. At least, like, don't script it out. Just get bullet points. You know, like,
that would work.
That might help.
He has bullet points. It's all the shit he has on his desk. He just doesn't understand any of it.
Those are just headlines. That's not bullet points.
What other bullet points would his teleprompter have?
If I were trying to organize what just happened.
Okay. Now this is a great game.
I'm going to have a difficult time doing it.
All right.
But I would say, bullet point, the devil.
Is that number one?
Yeah.
Number one with the bullet, the devil.
Sub bullet point, the nature thereof, the
right.
devil.
Right, right, right.
Sub bullet point under that, the door that we got to get through that the devil's standing in the middle of.
I'm a big fan of that door. Sub point underneath that.
I can't fucking organize this.
Get the devil behind you again. Right.
Well, I mean, he just screams that all the time, like, get behind me, Satan, and right, stuff right. like that. Yeah, that's classic. I don't know. That's a lot of rambly nonsense that he just wants to try and amp people up and make people think he actually feels conviction. I really think that's what's going on there.
That's wackadoo. What?
Also, I'm going to start making bingo cards for our podcast.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
Yeah. I'm going to start posting those. I don't know if I'll be able to do one for this episode, but future
We're going to have to get there. Yeah. Mm. Absolutely. That'll be our next thing we can send out to Policy Walks.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Put it on the Patreon. Guys, feel free to donate for bingo cards.
Yeah, you can download your own PDF. It costs us roughly 0 cents and it costs you
time.
Oh, that's true.
Time, baby.
To make a bingo card of Alex?
Yeah.
Fair.
You gotta come up with good things. No free spaces. Because Alex Jones does not believe in a handout.
No, the center space is just prosperity. That's what the center
Ooh,
space is.
Ooh, that's got to be. Because that's got to be
what it is.
That's
yeah.
a free space. Or
yeah.
or globalist.
Yeah.
Check. So that's not the only rant that we're going to be covering on this episode. But that's sort of the marquee headlining rant, I believe. Because he's just got nothing. He's got nothing. He's I think he's drunk. I'm not sure. Might just be hungover, something like that. But he's got this interview. He has an interview with Steve Pachenik in the second hour, and then he's got, Joe Arpaio in the third hour, and he's like, I gotta fill this first hour, and I got nothing. I'm just gonna yell about the devil.
Right.
Good. Good.
That's a solid strategy.
It's not bad. It seems to be one he uses a lot, but I...
Hey, man, go with what you know. Mm-hmm. People, if it works, fucking ride it out.
People seem to listen, and they seem to enjoy it, so maybe we should scream about the devil for the first hour of the program from now on. That or bingo cards.
What do you have to say about the devil? If we were to try and scream about the devil, Dan, what would you go with?
One time I met the devil. He was mighty slick.
So we're just going to do karaoke for the first hour then? Is that what you're saying?
I can't remember the rest of the lyrics to Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Great song. Heidi, Heidi, ho, that old sweet roll. Where he talks about the devil. But one of my big karaoke songs back when I used to do karaoke a lot was called And When I Die by Blood, Sweat, and Tears. It's just great horn rock. But at the end, he freaks out. The lead singer's freaking out. But look out, children. Here comes the devil. He's right behind you. And I'd whenever I was doing karaoke, I'd run up to someone in the audience and scream it in their face. The devil is right behind you!
All right, Dan. All right.
Then just to add to the theatricality, I would fall down on the stage.
Wow.
I was great at karaoke.
You were very good at karaoke.
That's what happens when you do karaoke at roadhouse bars in central Missouri that have really cheap booze.
That'll do it.
Drink a lot of slow gin and hang out with hillbillies. But be that as it may. One thing I liked about a lot of those hillbillies, like my boy L.A. Monte out there.
I sense a great transition coming.
In central Missouri.
I can feel it in the future.
L.A. Monte, my boy Moose that I worked with at Subway, just got out of the joint and then started working at Subway with me. He used to call me baby boy all the time.
Is any of this real?
It is.
Are you making all of this up?
It's all real. These are some of my hillbilly friends from the past. And one of the things that I liked about them was that they were country, but they were not racist. I enjoyed that about them. Alex Jones is not country, and he is racist.
That's true.
In this next clip, Alex tries to explain why he thinks people think he's racist, and he's wrong.
Oh, boy, he should not try and explain that.
They said Alex Jones is deeply racist. This is a quote from MSNBC, the talking point they've said many times, because he says Obamacare isn't free, and he says there's penalties. They go, well, that's what these deeply racist people do. They just make up lies about our black president. These are quotes.
Those aren't quotes. just go back to any one of our episodes and see all the racist shit he says. We don't need to go over it here. Or go to knowledgefight.com/racism and find some of the great hits of Alex Jones's. Because he always complains that no one has clips. They always just make claims about him. We got clips. We got clips out the ass.
I like his new trick. Maybe it's or at least new to me, of instead of saying that's what MSNBC is talking about or anything like that, he switches into talking points.
Mm.
So it's like soundbite was in the 90s or whatever, where it's almost a disqualifying term before it's said.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, oh, it's talking points, that means that it's strategized and it's focus grouped and all of these things.
Yeah.
It can be true, though, but the connotation of the phrase makes you feel like, oh, well, they're just making it up.
Yeah.
Or they're just, which is crazy because how can you describe purple penguins or anything like that as anything but a talking point?
Yeah.
Anything but, you know, the Confederate flag is about history or, you know, all of these different waypoints that we've had over the years, of his. Are all the same definition of talking point.
Yeah, talking point.
Like, it's the same shit.
It doesn't really mean anything other than...
a thing that you talk about.
And it turns out a lot of people are on the same tip for a while. Because we talk about hot take culture and shit like that.
Right.
Like, what we've descended into now, everyone's into one thing for a week, and then we move on to the next thing.
If we get to a week, it's an amazing thing. Yeah.
Everything becomes talking points just kind of naturally, because everyone's talking about this thing and, you know, through... people having arguments on Twitter and stuff, there's almost naturally just conclusions that you come to that become like, oh, this is what everyone's saying.
Right.
All right. I find that a little bit distasteful too, but I don't think I have the same perspective on it Alex does, because I don't think it's globalists doing that. I just think it's slightly hive-mindy. I think it's just a lot of people are kind of dumb too, so they see something they like and it becomes their opinion.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's more complicated, but
I like his understanding of what MSNBC was calling him a racist for.
Sure.
Oh, it's because I'm saying that Obamacare doesn't work and there's going to be penalties.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they think I'm racist.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, Alex, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Even you got to know that's not true.
You could come up with 10 better things that he said about Obama himself.
Yeah.
That could be like, oh, this is more racist than what you're saying about Obamacare.
Right.
But again, that's just his way of deflecting for his dumbass fans. They're like, oh, I'm not racist. That's why they think I'm racist. That's why everyone says it. It's not true. Yeah.
It's just a talking point to say I'm racist.
So speaking of another racist.
In the same way that it's a talking point for me to say white people are better and black people are more racist than us.
And white people deserve attention and we're the only thing that matters in the world.
Yeah.
Speaking of another racist, Roger Stone.
Yeah!
Alex brings him up. In one good context, and again, this is, you know, it's our tradition that we give it up when even these monsters agree on good stuff. Roger Stone and Alex Jones are both in favor of legalization of marijuana.
Good.
And so this clip begins with Alex talking about Roger Stone wanting to push for legalization of marijuana. He believes that if Trump gets on board with that, it will make everyone love Trump, which I gotta tell you, it won't.
No.
Some people will be like, great, you did what Obama started. but I don't think people will just be like...
Instead of destroying what Obama did.
Right. I love tree so much that I'm going to look over all this other stuff you've done that's horrible. Banning trans people from the military unilaterally for no reason.
That one's one of the most bananas things.
I love that he did that on Twitter. Then everyone was like, why are you doing this? Even everyone in the army or in the services. And then he's like, I'm going to double down. I'm not going to listen to that advice. What a dick.
I mean, what else is that but just like, let's do something. Let's just throw something out there today.
Let's poke the bee's nest.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
It's nothing.
Yeah, but unfortunately it has a very serious effect on a lot of people. And like, for us to say like, it's a distraction, even if that is the intention of it, it feels bad for us to say that because it does minimize the effect it has on people.
Well, the point that has become cliche now is that if you're not willing to serve in the military, who are you to say that anybody should or shouldn't?
Yeah.
You know, if they're...
That's
if,
a talking
if,
point.
If they volunteer, you know, fucking get out of their way.
Yeah.
And the people who've worked with them all say, great.
Mm-hmm.
They're here, I'm here, we're all on the same...
We're used to it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
And so...
When I say we're used to it, I was trying to parrot or mirror the chant.
Yeah.
Not like I'm saying we need to be used to something.
No, I think we all got it.
Let me get to this Roger Stone clip, because I hate this dude, and I want to talk about him.
And if you decriminalize marijuana, and if Trump actually delivers on Obama's promises to do it, and if he can get Sessions to worry about the heroin and, you know, the prescription drugs and all the serious stuff, that will turn the tide 100% for Trump.
It won't.
But regardless of what you think of that, you read this article. Why was he banned on Fox, CNN, MSNBC?
Roger.
We first broke that over a year and a half ago. It was later confirmed. There was an actual ban by the Hillary campaign in the WikiLeaks saying, shut down Roger Stone. He's the MVP. Shut down Alex Jones. We've already got a ban on Jones, but get a ban on Roger Stone. As if I need to go on your shows to have viewers. When I go on your shows, then you get viewers. Every time I go on one of those shows,
Kelly would
it
disagree.
Goes from having a million viewers to 10 million viewers that day. And then it's all over the news for weeks. And, you know, number one story of the year, Piers Morgan. Yeah, they had votes. That was the number one rated thing, most covered media event of 2013.
Brag.
They know I'm explosive. Not bragging. It's a fact.
You're bragging. But I don't care about all that other stuff. I don't give a shit about Piers Morgan or what his hottest story was, because you're lying about Roger Stone, totally, and just for fun. I'd like to remind everyone that the reason that Roger Stone was banned from these networks is that he called Anna Navarro and Roland Martin, who's a former contributor of CNN, quota hires. He also said that Anna Navarro was borderline retarded. He called her an entitled diva bitch and said she was dumber than dog shit. Beyond that, he said that Fox News contributor Alan West is an arrogant know-it-all Negro. Roger Stone also mocked contributor Charles Krauthammer, who was paralyzed in a driving accident when he was in medical school, by telling him to, quote, stand the fuck up. He suggested he wanted to bash Bill O'Reilly's head in. He called Fox News contributor Herman Cain Mandingo. Just to round it out with some sexism, he said that Megyn Kelly has, quote, a nice set of cans. So this is why he's banned. Because he's horrible. He's a horrible person.
Those are good reasons to ban someone from TV.
And that's not even, like, I don't even have the full list.
The amazing thing is he's still not banned from Twitter.
Yeah, for like, all the abuse he throws out at exactly. people, especially women.
Yeah, but Twitter's
like,
garbage.
And, like, he's been on television and called people, like, other, I don't remember all the people, but he's, like, called people mediocre Negroes and stuff like that. He seems to love calling black people Negroes. He seems to love calling women bitches and just mocking people for, you know.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
He likes going on TV and reveling in his monstrous behavior.
Yeah, his shitheadedness.
Yeah.
But no, he's an all-star, and that's why they got to ban him. It's in the WikiLeaks.
Ugh.
So this next clip is awesome, because this is what I would call a sales pitch head fake.
Okay.
This is like Alex, like you really think that he's about to go to a sales pitch, and then he doesn't.
Now, amazing. That's a new one. That's a new one. Usually it's the whiplash pitch. This time he's doing the crossover.
This caught me off guard. He would have crossed me over for sure. This is Iverson level in terms of a crossover.
Okay.
So here you go.
That's the level of deceitful rat-like creatures we're dealing with. Now, right now.
Chimeras.
That's just one little stack I mentioned here for you. But I want to get into what happened last night because it's so incredibly important. Briefly, yesterday's special that was supposed to end is going to go one more day because, as is normal, we are skeleton crew in many areas trying to up our crew right now desperately, but launching new shows, we're very busy. We're extending the sales one more day because I've got to have a sales meeting at the show and decide the best products we've got, the best deals we can do. And have.
So first of all, I think we talked over the head fake because I think it's a subtle thing. I think I want to go back to try and make my point, but also, you see there that he's always extending specials. That's another important point. So right here, when he says these are terrible, awful people. And then there's a little bit of a briefly, that's when he's going to get into the sales pitch, but he doesn't. And then he gets into the sales pitch. That's the part that's remarkable to me. Just listen to this beginning like 15 seconds again and tell me you don't think that when he actually says, all right, let's get to tonight's clip or last night's clips, that's where the sales pitch is supposed to go.
Okay.
Level of deceitful rat-like creatures we're dealing with now, right now.
Right here. Right here.
That's just one little stack I mentioned here for you. But I want to get into what happened last night because it's so incredibly important.
Okay. You're right. I gotcha.
Then the sales
briefly.
Pitch.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
All right, who cares?
There we go. I gotcha.
My point is he zigzagged in a, I don't care. Look.
Right.
I'm so bored with this dumbass.
And then if you think he's gonna zig, and then you think he's gonna zag?
That's when he zogs. Yeah. I'm so bored with his
for
dumbassery, that I'm just picking these tiny little moments like, ooh, that's weird. That should show you where my head's at.
Yeah, that one was subtle for me.
Yeah, okay. Maybe it is for everybody. I apologize if I wasted your time. So, This next clip, Alex wants to make a metaphor about the fires of liberty and how if you try and put them out, you might burn the rug you're trying to put it out with.
That's a great metaphor.
It's super pained, but I'm going to spoil what he ends up saying because I think it's important to really bring this into focus. He says that, you know, the fires, are going to, the globalists are going to run to their castles, and those castles will be their prisons where they're burned in their ovens. He says basically.
Not great imagery.
When he's basically saying that these castles that they run to are going to be their ovens. And there's a couple unfortunate pieces about this. Never say that about somebody.
Usually a bad idea.
Don't do that, especially when Nazis are on the rise in America and when it's very clear that your worldview is globalist equals Jew bankers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So when you're saying these globalists are running to their castles, what most people, especially the bigots, get it in the audience that, oh, he's talking about those international Jews.
Yeah.
And so when you then refer to it as ovens, it is very, very bad.
Yeah. And that's a clear dog whistle.
Yes. So
that's so clear.
But,
and if you're not paying attention though, you're like, oh, that's just his dumbass rhetoric.
Mm.
When in reality, that is definitely a signal to all of his fucking Nazi followers.
And I'm willing to believe that it might have been subconscious because it sounds like he tries to, cover it immediately after. Like, it might just be something that came out of his mouth. But make no mistake, that is not, like, I don't think that, like, there's 100 other ways you could phrase it. If you want to say they're going to be burned in their castles, that's their fireplace or something like that. There's a lot of other ways you could go about it. Things, people are not burned in ovens except in one very specific instance. And so anyway.
Also, there is one other specific instance.
Hansel and Gretel.
True.
So there's another one.
The devil in the white city. That dude. Oh. H.H. Holmes.
Oh yeah.
He burned people. It, not related.
Mm-hmm.
He burned people in ovens. That's definitely true.
I didn't know that. I couldn't make it through that book. It was so boring. But be that as it may, even with all that put to the side, this metaphor is fucking tortured. It is so awful. So here you go. Enjoy. Enjoy, literature major.
Fake laugh.
And it's like a lot of times you try to put a fire out, it'll catch the blanket you got on fire.
Use a fire extinguisher.
You try to put it out, coals roll out, and pretty soon there's a brush fire right here, and all of a sudden the wind kicks up like God's not on your side, and all of a sudden you're engulfed in your own attempt to put out the fires of liberty. And fire goes up and will burn down these evil people in these high places. These fortresses they built for themselves are actually going to be their prisons. The ovens.
Hmm?
Of the heavens raining down fire,
like
we saw in the time of Ezekiel, burning away the tyranny.
Like in Ezekiel.
Ladies and gentlemen, you saw that eclipse. You see how beautiful this universe
is. Oh, no.
Strong.
And you see how strong the fire of liberty is.
Strong.
Because of the eclipse?
Yeah. Also, it was pretty cloudy in Chicago. The eclipse was not that impressive. Although I, like Trump, stared straight at it. And no eye damage, guys. But I did make a good joke with my boss. I was like, you don't really need glasses. It's cloudy out. I looked up at it. I'm not blind yet. He's like, I hear that happens like the day after. I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, my eye did just get crossed. That boss never looks at me, so all I was right. Like trying to play it off as if who cares. I got a cross eye, guys, if you haven't seen me.
Not bad.
Anyway,
not bad, Dan.
This next clip is weird.
Weirder than that metaphor?
No, because that metaphor wasn't that weird. Like, the fires of liberty getting out of control if you try and put them out, I think I could make a better metaphor if I wanted to. But the only thing that was super weird about that is how bad he is at that, the metaphor. And then him just out of nowhere saying ovens.
Right.
That's the part that's weird.
Right.
But this clip, I don't even know how to, again, there are going to be like 3 or 4 parts in this episode that I just don't know how to tell you. I don't know what to do. So I just have to play the clip.
Don Lemon, that almost nobody watches you and that people understand you're scum and that you sit up there all day and lie about the president and lie to your viewers. And tell people that I said that I'm an actor and don't believe what I say.
Your lawyer
did. Always saying, the Republicans think Trump's looking for a way out. The things he's saying are so crazy, and Clapper and Brennan are out saying it. We think he wants to resign. That's right. He was never really running to win and president. And then he was never really going to do all this stuff. And, he really worked for Hillary and all the rest of it.
You said that.
None of it was true. It's all a hoax.
You said that.
Just like they'd march into people's offices early on when Trump was out of town and say, Trump fired you, leave. And then they'd call Roger Stone or others up and say, is this true? And they'd say, no, it's a scam. Wait till he comes back to town and go talk to him. And then Priebus came in and said, don't you go talk to him. He goes, well, I'm supposed to. He wants me to talk to him. And they're like, and they're like, Mr. President, the leaks are because you only should talk to one person. Now let us put you in here all alone. And with Joe Arpaio coming on later, the Sheriff Arpaio with a big exclusive interview, he's on our interview first because he wants to thank us for helping get word to the president. It's not about even the pardon. It's about the story that if you can get to him and let him know something's happening, he will research it and try to do the right thing. and they call that mentally ill, that he's not letting a bunch of globalists play the part of collective president and then tell him what to do and have him read off a script and go play golf. And they're saying, it's insane. Oh, yeah, one-sided NAFTA and GATT and TPP and all this that he's pulling out. It's insane trying to bring our economy back. That's why it's in the news today. Wall Street banks warn downturn coming. They're trying to kill the economy because they know it's associated with Trump and our Make America Great Again. It's totally naked. They want you poor. They want you dumb. They want your kids. They want you in poverty. It's in the WikiLeaks. Cloward and Piven. It's public. It's published. They're horrible people, and they think they're going to break you. They think they've got control of you. Well, ask God for help. Take action. Speak out. And we are breaking them. We've made more gains the last 2 years than we made the last 100.
That's the strangest, like, shout out at the end of a, like, they're clear, that's a hard break. They gotta go to break. They can't not. And he's gotta get stuff out off his chest. That we've accomplished more in the last 2 years than we have in the last 100 is fucked up. That is so fucked up. Because what's happened in the last 100 years? Civil Rights Act.
New Deal. What else? Oh, all the stuff.
So going back to
1917. Let's go with the fucking iPhone. Like, I don't know what you want.
Yeah.
I don't know what you want, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
What have we accomplished in the past 2 years? What is Trump and the quote unquote Patriots accomplished?
Trump has stood up to the false group that Alex thinks is oppressing the world. That's what's going on.
But he hasn't even done that.
No, of course not.
All of the strictures of globalism, as we understand what Alex has believed in our previous episodes, Trump has done none of them.
No, and if Trump really did want to do what Alex suggests, what he would have done immediately is audit the Fed. Like, if he was the person that Alex Jones thinks he is, he would have audited the Fed, because that's the biggest thing for these globalist hawking wingdings, is the idea that the federal bank needs to be checked. Because all of this debt, all this national debt isn't real, all this stuff. So if you audit it, you find that all these banksters, these international Jews, as it were,
right,
have been screwing us over and signed us on to all this debt that's really their debt, and then we should put them in prison.
Right. Well, the Federal Reserve signed its name in all caps,
mm-hmm.
So it's not really the Federal Reserve, it's the idea of the Federal Reserve.
I'm starting to actually think that Alex Jones might be a sovereign citizen. I found a clip from 2015 that makes me think that he might really actually be on that tip. A caller, we'll get to it eventually in the investigation, but a caller calls in and explains the idea of maritime admiralty to him.
Okay.
And Alex is like, yep, yeah, I know all that. I've had some success in court with that. Like,
What?
Okay.
Said fucking Noah. I'm confused as to what he was talking about. So apparently secret people, scammers,
yeah.
would go to Trump's campaign office,
mm-hmm.
and try and fire people.
This is something they've talked about before.
They would go to Roger Stone,
uh-huh.
and Roger Stone would be like, not fired, go talk to Trump. And then Reince Priebus would come back to them, so we assume that the original scammer was actually just Reince Priebus.
Well,
and he would say, don't talk to Trump! And then, they would go talk to him and they wouldn't be fired, but all the leakers, which puts us 2 years from the campaign whenever Roger Stone was involved at all. Or is he saying that people in the White House were almost fired, but then they talked to Roger Stone, the man who legally can get nowhere near the White House.
He can get as close to the White House as he can to CNN. Like, but yeah, Roger Stone and Reince Priebus's tenures don't overlap at all.
At all.
So yeah, this is just that convoluted narrative that Alex has, that there are globalists inside who are trying to trick Trump loyalists into quitting by telling them that they'd been fired, and then they'd go and ask Trump, he's like, I didn't fire you. It's just nonsense.
That worked, which we're dealing with Trump's people, so that probably would have worked.
Yeah, probably.
We could have just walked into anybody's office and been like, Trump fired you, and they'd
who are
be
you?
Like, that sounds like Trump.
Yeah. Who are you?
They wouldn't even
I'm
ask.
I'm a literature major.
They wouldn't
You're
even
fired.
Ask. They'd just be like, oh yeah, that's the guy that fires people. I'm out of here.
But like, if that's true, which it's not, if that were true, that is a description of one of the most disorganized, chaotic, backstabby, awful administrations I can possibly imagine. So even if Alex Jones is depicting the reality, that's terrible.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't allow them to have any kind of governing power.
Mm-mm. So, you know what? Even if they are real fuck-ups, they're screwing up, creating a terrible administration,
They are.
That's okay.
They are in every possible respect.
But that's
there okay. There is literally not one thing they have done with any sort of competency.
I can
even the evil things that they want to do, they've done very poorly and can't implement any of them. These are the dumbest people in the history of American government.
Jordan, I can tell you one thing that they've done that is not terrible. That is that they have not created any babies that don't have souls. Now listen to this next clip.
No.
Not in a thousand infinities. Never.
You can't
never,
have a
no,
thousand infinities.
No. You will not get control. You will not win. You will not kill everybody. You will not deform everyone. You will not have cancer rates of 90%. You will not have everybody infertile.
90%.
We have to go to you to have humanoid kids. Oh, five parents. Yeah, it's a person. Here, it's your baby. Oh, look, it's 6'4" and perfectly looking. And it ain't got a soul, baby.
Where? Why?
They're like,
does four parents equal a soul?
Imprints. These clones, they just take on whatever they're programmed with in the culture and just go around on power trips. It's basically like Satan bots or artificial synthetic sociopaths.
As opposed to our homegrown sociopaths.
See, there's one switch they want to cut off. It's virtue.
He's now chewing
on a pen. Innocence. Innocence is the window into infinity.
What?
The mind of God.
What the fuck is that? What are you fucking talking about?
Ever seeking, ever looking, ever wishing. The average leftist, if they could, would run through a kindergarten with a hatchet.
That's true.
That's
no, he nailed me.
Mind ones want to kill your kids. We'll be right back. That's the epiphany.
That's a great epiphany. So, first of all, that's how you really, radicalize your audience by saying that the mainline people who oppose our political ideas want to kill your children. They would run through a kindergarten with a hatchet, which I want to say is maybe a stab at the Juggalos. And I don't appreciate that because their symbol is a guy running with a hatchet.
Oh, okay.
The hatchet man.
I don't think so. Probably I don't think not. He knows that.
He might have just read Hatchet.
He might have just seen the movie The Patriot starring Mel Gibson.
I'm guessing based on his reading level, he just read Newbery Award winner The Hatchet. So,
well, he was fake crying, so maybe he read Where the Red Fern Grows.
Could be. Or Bridge to Terabithia, other children's books. The other
why,
thing.
Why?
No, hold
why?
On. Hold on. I know you're chomping at the bit there.
I'm angry!
But we need to unpack this very important piece.
What?
The way he's speaking in that clip leads me to believe that he believes that a lot of people who disagree with him are clones.
It kind of feels that way.
He is saying this as if, like, he's not talking about a hypothetical future. He's talking about these synthetic sociopaths
nor
who are
even,
walking around.
Nor even a metaphorical description of these people.
6'4", ain't got no soul, baby.
Why don't they have a soul? Even said, like, they got five parents and they're 6'4", but they don't have souls. Like, how many parents do you need to have
well,
a soul?
I'm guessing.
What do you, what, I'm guessing does in vitro fertilization mean you don't have a soul? Because if you can have five parents, it's just the same shit. It's just multiple genetic material coming out of it.
I'm guessing his idea, if we took his logic to its, natural extension, it would be that test tube babies don't have a soul.
Right.
So.
They're clones.
Yeah.
How else would you get them?
Synthetic sociopath. Yeah.
Or so it could be Satan bots.
Satan bots. He believes there are a ton of clones walking around.
Well, yeah. Who else would disagree with him?
Oh, the devil.
It's this type of shit.
The devil is real, and he's doing all kinds of fucked up stuff.
And he's building great bots.
There are clones running around all over the place.
Because they have five parents.
Oh my God, this is
anybody,
nuts.
Anybody taller than 6'4" does not have a soul. This is just proven. It's in the WikiLeaks.
All people are talking about is that Joe Arpaio was on the show. There's so much more that's so worse here.
What? This is the type of shit where it's like every article you see that's like, how do Trump people feel about Trump now that he's ruining their lives and they don't even know it? It's like, here's what they feel.
They don't care. They think you're a clone.
Here's what they feel.
They don't care.
They feel that anybody who disagrees with them is trying to murder them at every single point in time.
Or
we're past the point of, can you talk to these people and reason with them? Because they think you're trying to murder them.
Right. And I'll never operate in the same way. I'm still willing to even talk to an info warrior or anything. Like, I will give everyone the benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise. I don't like descending into that we can't talk to the other side stuff. But I do believe that a large portion of the people who won't turn on Trump, despite the mounting evidence of the Russia shit being very real and the fact that he's just going to destroy the entire country through his ego, greed, siphoning off money to his own businesses.
Or just all the crimes he's committed.
Right, the siphoning off all
of
the money.
It.
All the
he's
kleptocracy
so many
shit.
Crimes.
Right. So, but like, they will never turn on it because they are indoctrinated into this cult, essentially, of the anti-globalist stuff. I need to make this point, because that gets back to why I'm particularly offended by Joe Rogan jumping on board with a lot of these people who are in the Alex Jones-averse, as it were. And I understand that he wants to give a fair day in court to all sorts of people, but if Peter Schiff was on our show, let's say, there's no way we would allow him to say the things that he says without at least pushing back pretty considerably on these ideas, these faulty economic ideas that he has.
Well, if we had him on our show, we would spend a week prepping. We would have everything that he regularly talks about. We would have charts. We would go through all of this shit because we care.
And probably try not to talk about his dad.
I think it would be hilarious.
He'd probably bring him up.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, look, the point is, yeah.
No, but my point is this. Even if we're going outside of our cult, that we follow along with, even the mainstream GOP people, even whenever they give us this like, oh, Trump has reached a 64% disapprove thing, the GOP will still vote 48% for any Republican.
Right.
When Trump runs for a reelection, for the burning mass of what used to be the world, it will still be every GOP voter voting for him.
Yeah, but
because they don't exist as a positive anything. There's no Republicans are for something.
Yeah.
They are a non-existent party. They are just filled with, I hate this shit.
But,
and they will use any rationale to justify their hatred.
But I don't think it's fair to say that and not say that it is true that most Democrats would just vote for any Democrat also. And I'm not saying that that makes it okay, because obviously Trump is way worse than any political alignment.
You make a very good point.
But there is that same lockstep, walking in, and that's...
Right. I'm not specifically blaming Trump or, the GOP.
And I'm not...
I am blaming our dumbass system.
And
like,
don't
hate the player, hate the game.
I'm not saying you're wrong by making that rebuttal, but I just think it's, you know, it's important to be fair and say that there's a lot of just, you know, mindless, the other side sucks, our side is great on both sides. And that's kind of the problem with, especially with two-party systems and the state of the world today.
I think that is not entirely what I was talking about. I was talking more about, rather than it being a party-based lockstep, it's more just this is their ideology.
No,
the entirety. I think you're wrong.
No, I disagree.
I don't think any.
I think the last year has shown us that their ideology is very malleable.
Yeah,
they fall in line with whatever fits the most important pieces of their ideology, which is don't give stuff to people and lower taxes. That sort of stuff.
But that's all. I mean, again, that's all negative.
Well,
that's all a remove things.
Well,
they don't see it that way. They'll rationalize any of these dumbass, you know, Obamacare is bad. They'll rationalize that away with anything just because they hate Obama.
Right.
Just because they want to tear down this shit.
Well, in that Peter Schiff interview with Joe Rogan, one of the things he was talking about with the minimum wage was like, having a minimum wage hurts employees because, hey, you know what? Say you want a job and you want to work for $3 an hour. You can't.
You know, like so many people.
You don't have the power to do that because you can't. It's against the law. So if you want to have that, if you want to have that in our world, what you get is $0 an hour because you can't have a job. But if there was no minimum wage, you could get that $3 an hour job. You'd be making $3 an hour. Anyway, it's all stupid.
It's nonsense.
But the point I was trying to make with that is that his conception of taking away the minimum wage, which we know is a negative, he's trying to make it a positive for everybody. This is a gain for you. You could get $3 an hour instead of zero.
But that's just, again, that's just a rationalization for their hell-bent destruction of the New Deal.
Yeah.
Like, that's all they really want. Yeah. And despite the reams upon reams upon reams of history books explaining why these people are so fucking dumb.
Right.
They can't process any of that information.
No.
They'll just always come up with some sort of alternative or some study written by somebody from the fucking Heritage Foundation, that only ancillary disproves a small, tiny little bit of this, if it even does that at all. And they'll say, look, we have our own specialists.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or they'll do the classic what about? Like, they don't believe in anything.
Yeah.
There's no belief system behind the GOP. There's no belief system behind their version of Christianity.
Well, now
this is all made up bullshit to rationalize that they just don't want any of this shit around because they hate people.
Well, now I'm deeply concerned because there is an element of that I agree with. But as the Tea Party has come to prominence, and now the Tea Party is kind of absorbed into the larger Patriot movement.
Eh, they're alt-right.
Right, but whatever you want to call it. Because there's a lot of moving pieces within it, but they're all sort of coming together. And one of the things that draws them all together is a really anti-government stance. Or at least anti-federal government stance. They're like, with the the hard libertarians, the liberty people, the patriots, even the alt-right, and Peter Schiff. There is a complete belief that the federal government imposing anything on you is some sort of a crime or a violence against you. And as that gets absorbed into the GOP and becomes the mainstream of the conservative side, you look at a really dangerous proposition, because no principles is almost better to that, because that's just straight up destruction.
It's hard to,
how do you run a campaign where one person is like, I think the federal government should do nothing.
Right.
And the other person's like, I have some ideas.
Right.
Like, what do you do? Yeah. How does that argument work? I don't know.
Well, you say that the federal government doing nothing is really the best thing for you. That's the argument. If you're trying to run a campaign on tear down the government.
No, I'm saying, how does that debate end up working? Because the person on the other side is forced to take the position of federal government is great. Whereas a logical position is the federal government has its problems, but there's some things we need to work out. And
there's so much that just it would never, ever, ever be possible were it not for federal government intervention.
Yep.
Like, there's so much, like,
carrying the load of this large a population.
Right.
Urban centers existing.
Or just your fucking technological growth. All of this stuff begins with federal investment.
Sure.
A lot of it begins with military investment, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
But that is so much of the technology that we use is entirely because the federal government funded its research.
Sure. Or even the arts.
Right.
You can even go that way.
Oh, absolutely.
It's technology, the arts, culture, pretty much everything.
Well, the Civil War is not going to be drawn on states or north-south anymore. It's cities versus rural people.
Mm-mm.
And imagine, like, if we
I will never take up arms against L.A. Monte.
God damn it. No, if we switch to even, city states, if we go back to, fucking ancient
classical
Greece,
times.
Yeah, all of this stuff, so much would just be destroyed and lost without some sort of unifying federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago is, it would be decimated.
Mm-hmm.
So many places would be decimated. And the very people who are calling for anti-government, who are the most anti-government, are the ones who are going to die first.
Maybe.
That's what they have. They have, it's a death cult. It's a death cult.
I don't know. Now
these
you sound
people
like Alex.
Are wishing for their own death.
You sound like Alex.
Any one of the GOP would run through your daycare.
With a hatchet.
With a hatchet.
So, I don't stand by that, and you don't
Claiming that everybody's atheist.
So, in this next clip, this is fun. Cause,
sorry about that rant. I don't even know what, like, I'm just so fucking done. I'm just so fucking done with these people.
Do you remember where this rant started? Babies with no souls. So, this next clip.
With five parents.
Alex Jones, gets mad at people for bragging about being violent, which is hilarious. Very hypocritical and pretty fun. But he starts getting into it and starts making jokes. And you can't tell.
Oh, that's not good.
You can't tell from the audio, but Steve Pachenik is on Skype and you can see him laughing. And so this leads into the introduction of Steve Pachenik and what he says. When he gets on the mic for the first time, I strongly disagree with. Keep that in mind.
Okay.
I strongly disagree.
Okay.
James Clapper, I question Trump's fitness for office. Wonder if he's looking for a way out. Again, the same lies. And then McConnell deserting him and saying, we're going to turn. McConnell tried to stop him in the primaries. It's the same dirtbags trying to hoodwink you. This is a test of you. Forget who Trump is. This is a test on their controlling the narrative, like Karl Rove trying to show off to some female reporters. Just like Richard Pearl saddled up to a bunch of hot reporters and said, you know, I kill people. I'm a big killer. I kill a lot of people. Like, weighs 400 pounds, huge black circles, looks like a raccoon. And the women are like, ugh, gross. Hey, dude, women don't want to hear about how many people you ordered killed yourself when you can't hardly walk. But at the same meeting, Karl Rove tries to show off and goes, I control history. And all of you media are nothing. I tell you what to say, whether it's true or not, you put it out, then I'll change history again. It's like Winston being tortured by O'Brien in 1984, and he's pulling his teeth out, and he goes, listen, once you're totally mentally ill, you won't believe in gravity if I tell you. We're going to get you to the point where I show you four figures, you see whatever the hell I want. You don't see four figures, you see 527, hey, you see purple's your ass, bro. When I'm done, you have no mind, because my religion is destroying your mind and pissing on everyone, because I'm in the priest of power. And that's all this is for Don Lemon and the rest of them. And Karl Rove in an airport, I walk over, he goes, you're not a team player. You could be on Fox if you just start being a team player. And I'm like, dude, I mean, I don't want to get into stuff. He's just so stupid. I'm sitting there like I want to be on Fox when they've already offered me shows like 15 times. I don't want to get into numbers or any of it. He's just so stupid. I mean, I was like talking to a retarded midget. He even looks like he's got extra chromosomes, and I'm not being mean here.
It's what? Like
they've got a poor Down
I'm
syndrome guy,
mean.
And he literally is bragging to women that he's powerful and controls reality.
Fake laugh.
Is it? It's even creepier
than
a usual fake laugh.
That is the virtue, and I love Down syndrome kids, and give my other special one.
What
they're great
the
people.
Fuck
I'm just
is
saying.
That?
But he has that strength, though. He does have
what?
That idiot strength.
What?
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay,
Take
I'm going
to
skip this break so we have more time. When I start laughing this hard, it's really a bad situation.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Pachenik, you've been down about the Afghanistan thing, but it's okay. It's okay. Go ahead.
You are brilliant.
No, I'm not.
I to pay for this show. Honestly, I don't think anybody really understands how incredibly brilliant you are when you're riffing. It's like a jazz riff of incredible insights. I mean, talk about stream of consciousness, but it's always on target. You're right. Karl Rove is a midget.
What? How is this okay? Because, how is this okay for anything, anywhere, anybody?
Well, because this is how Steve Pachenik maintains his space in the order, in the batting lineup.
Just mindless sycophant.
Yeah. And that's
Jesus.
How he's able to trick Alex into believing all these counter-coup narratives and stuff like that. Whenever Alex goes off on whatever the fuck that was,
that's just
Steve Pachenik's
gross.
Response is just slapping his knee and being like, ah, Alex, you're a genius. And then almost immediately transitioning into the point he wants to make, which I actually kind of agree with some of the points he's making. We don't need to listen to a ton of him, but he's basically talking about how the war in Afghanistan, we can't continue it. sending more troops is a really terrible idea. It's clearly
It's worked before.
It's clearly the work.
It worked in 2014. It worked in 2012. It worked in 2011. It worked in 2009.
I don't.
It worked in 2004. It worked in 2006. It worked in
I don't agree with Steve Pachanik about a lot because he's a little bit nuts. But I do agree with him in this sense, and that makes listening to him kind of boring.
It's just so gross.
It's very gross.
It's disgusting.
Yeah,
and it's even worse that he tries and pull it off by saying, "And I love Down syndrome kids.
I love them."
What is that? It's just fucking disgusting.
Well, he insults Karl Rove by calling him retarded, then says, "I love Down syndrome kids. I give to the Special Olympics. Those people are great." And then says, "But Karl Rove does have idiot strength." It's like, what? This is a whirlwind here. He just has no base. But anyway.
We can't get bogged down. It's
just him being stupid.
It's a fundamental inability to treat people as people.
It's almost like he's a synthetic psychopath.
He is. Or he could just be a genuine psychopath.
So this next clip starts with...
Or it could be a Satan bot.
This next clip starts with what is a pretty inspiring tone and then gets to something I can't believe is true. So that this will be another whirlwind roller coaster.
You never know when you're doing little things how big it is. An example of that is David Knight came in here and he goes, "Look, I'm only getting hundreds of thousands of viewers online, not millions, and we're only got, you know, like, you know, 15 stations signing up in the next month." I go, "Dude, most people take 20 years to get on 15 stations. You're doing great." And I said, "I used to be on Access Television in 95, 96, and you know, a few thousand viewers. I had no idea. One of them was Mike Judge." And he said this on tape. I'm not bragging about me. He made one of the top 10 TV shows ever. They had 11 seasons or whatever. King of the Hill, one of the few shows with a few decent values. And kind of the Hank Hill character.
Ooh,
and then they got Dale Gribble. Because he didn't know if I was right or wrong. So he kind of created the Hank Hill character off his dad and his grandpa and me. But then the bad side, because he wasn't sure if we were right, was Dale Gribble, the conspiracy theorist.
Whoa, man.
Alex Jones is Hank Hill, but also Dale Gribble.
Yeah. And Hank Hill is his dad? His grandpa and crazy weirdo who's on the TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know.
If there's one thing I know about Hank Hill, he reminds me a lot of Alex Jones. Every time I think about Hank Hill, I'm like, there's a lot of Alex Jones there. There's a lot of Alex Jones. I don't think Alex quite got the point of King of the Hill.
Probably not.
I don't think he quite understood where the humor came from.
He also...
He doesn't have a sense of humor, so of course he just sees that and goes, "Oh, look, it's my values being reflected,"
right,
as opposed to, "Oh, look, my values don't actually make any fucking sense."
Right, right. He doesn't get biting satire. But also, there is literally no way that
Mike Judge was a fan.
No, that is true. Like, the two of them are
friends.
And he
made Hank Hill based on
that
Alex
part's
Jones.
Not true.
No, that's definitely true.
But the other thing is, I like where he's coming from at the beginning there.
Let's call Larry Nichols and see if it's true.
Oh, let's do it. So I like where he's coming from at the beginning when he's saying that you never know who you're reaching. Like, today we got that email from Sonia in Sweden. That's really crazy. You know, we have gotten a lot of emails and messages from people who I have no fucking idea how they found the show. And it's really cool. It's really neat to know that people are listening. And so that kind of a message from Alex, I can dig it.
Well, I found out that I'm the basis for Bob Belcher from Bob's Burgers.
Well, you.
Everybody knows.
That guy's dad.
Yeah.
His grandpa.
Yep.
So the other thing is we should say that David Knight has finally launched his own show. And they broadcast in the mornings. David Knight has got his own show, Real News with David Knight. I have not watched it because, of course, I'm not going to watch that. It's got to be boring as shit.
Real News.
Real News.
With David Knight.
With David Knight. Here's the news. Get Just for Men.
That's terrible.
Here's the news.
That's terrible.
Your beard is weird.
That's terrible.
Your stash is trash.
That's it. No, we're not making fun of him based on his appearance.
Oh,
it's just how boring he is.
I saw a picture of him from early like around 2008 or so. Uh-huh. Holy shit, he was svelte. He has gotten, I'm not insulting him. He looks fine because he looks like a.
Do you also love Down syndrome kids?
No, he looks like a he looks like a convivial grandpa now, like a benign grandpa.
Convivial.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But back
Lint
then.
Major.
He probably was like a good 40 pounds lighter. Like his face was slim.
If you
it
have
weirded
to name
me
your
out.
Show Real News.
Real News.
Doesn't that imply that it's not real news?
Well,
like if you're reinforcing the idea that it's real news, maybe it's more like, no, for real. No, it's real news. It's real news. Don't go. Mm-hmm. Don't go. It's real. It's real news.
The first episode was about how Luann from King of the Hill was based on Mike Judge's sister.
And David
and
Knight.
David Knight. So I'm going to skip this next clip because it's just Alex Jones lying about turning down millions of dollars of funding. Because this next clip that we are going to play is much more important. In this, Steve Pachenik is on hold. He's there in Skype on studio. Alex Jones gets a call from a gentleman who I can only describe as anti-Semitic. And let's see what happens.
Is his name Anti-Semitic Jim?
Might as well be.
Scott in Connecticut, listening on 1120 AM, WBCM, wants to talk about Afghanistan. Scott, thanks for holding. Thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Mr. Jones. It's an honor to speak to a legend like you.
No, honor to talk to you. Come on.
Well, this is what I want to say. We need to get out of Afghanistan, the Middle East. There's no point of us being there. The only
Good.
One that benefits,
Stop
sir,
there.
Is Israel and the Zionists.
Ooh.
We're there because we're joined to the hip with Israel and the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC, wields tremendous power. Congressmen and senators can't get elected to office in this country if they're against Israel. They're branded as an anti-Semite, a Jew hater. They just wield too much power. And talking about AIPAC, all of the garbage that's going on for Trump is coming from George Soros, who is an international Jewish banker, communist, and fifth columnist, who's behind the Occupy Wall Street movement and the Black Lives Matter.
Where
and him
have
along with Charles Schumer and Adam Schiff and Bernie Sanders, Dianne Feinstein, want to make
Jewish
America
people?
a Jewish communist
reason.
Nation. Let's be honest. America absolutely, positively has a Zionist-occupied government, a Zog. The Jews
Zog.
Control
a
Wall
Zog?
Street, the media, Hollywood, and American foreign policy. The proof.
Well, let me ask you this question, because I think in your statement is the answer. You've got Soros trying to overthrow Israel and Netanyahu. In the documents, in the WikiLeaks. And then you're saying that Soros is controlling America when he was a Nazi collaborator. Isn't it that you've got all sorts of different Jews in the world with different political views, and that some of these leftist Jews, because they're just leftist, have these collectivist models? I understand there's a big Israel lobby.
Come on.
And I don't like any foreign lobby manipulating us, and I've been against it. So I get called anti-Israel while I'm called, a minion of Israel, but let's get Pachenik's take on that, because, I know Donna Pachenik, you had family that actually did die under Hitler's occupation. You're, I guess, half Jewish or whatever. Fled to Cuba because the U.S. wouldn't take you or whatever. Earlier, I guess, with FDR, but later would.
God, you don't give a
You've written a
shit.
Book about it. Your mother's experiences. What is your real view on this? Is the guy that did the Camp David Accords successfully, with Jimmy Carter. You're a famous guy when it comes to Middle Eastern peace. What's really happening?
He's not wrong.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that, Pachenik.
Oh, no.
Thanks for chiming in with your dumbass bullshit.
We apparently do have a Zog.
We got a Zionist-occupied government.
Also, in that clip, I think I figured out what Mike Judge took from Alex Jones to make Hank Hill, and that's the pronouncing it, what.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So, I love the idea that AIPAC wants to keep us in Afghanistan. Like, hey, yeah, make sure you destabilize the Middle East so we'll be safe.
Right, and the other
Great.
Thing, the other thing about that is Alex's attempt at a save with the, there's all kinds of different Jews with different views, which is a nice way to put it.
That is a nice way to put it.
He's like, it's the leftist Jews who are doing this, and it's because they're leftist, not because they're Jews.
Different right. Jews but to rule the world.
AIPAC isn't a leftist organization at all.
Do you mean one of the most hard right organizations in the fucking country isn't a leftist?
So his whole argument and
fucking bullshit.
His whole argument doesn't take into account what the guy was the anti-Semite was saying. And I say that with all love and respect, but that guy is beholden to he's a Pez dispenser.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So
He would rather blame Jews for, I know a group of people who would rather blame Jews for their problems. Dan?
Mm.
Dan, can you think of another group of people who hate the Jews?
Anti-globalists.
Okay, we got one.
Uh-huh. Let's see.
I think there's a big one.
Nazis?
I think there's a big one.
The Nazis?
The Nazis.
Okay.
The Nazizis.
Speaking of someone who probably is totally cool with the Nazis, at least the neo-Nazis, Joe Arpaio's time has come.
God, I fucking, Dan.
We're going to keep it to a minimum. This clip, is Joe Arpaio, really breaking it down, what he feels about what's been done to him.
I don't have strong enough words.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have strong enough words.
Well, then just be quiet and we'll get through it. I only have like 4 clips of him or so, and mostly they're just him saying stupid shit. So we can get through it. Just don't yell. Just keep it in. This first clip, is really, it's kind of funny, when you look at the big picture. Unfortunately, it's not funny because he's responsible for many deaths and many non-investigations of horrible crimes, because victims were, immigrants.
We're in this together. They're coming after everybody, and it's really a great brotherhood or kinship to actually be persecuted by these globalist scum. You ask, why is the media after Trump? Because they know he's for real. These are globalists. They're trying to sell the country out, Sheriff.
I know. You know, Mark Goldman talked to you. You had him on, so I have a good lawyer for a change. So I'm fighting this out, and I'm never going to surrender. And I'll tell you, I'm going to try to get the real story out about the abuse that was done. And if they can do it to me, think of that. They can do it to anybody.
Die.
And that's dangerous for our country.
So the idea that if they can do this to me, they can do it to anybody, I'm very comfortable with, because what you did is atrocious.
I'm uncomfortable that that's currently not true.
What do you mean?
I'm very uncomfortable with the fact that if you are a serial killer, apparently you can't do anything to that fucking guy.
Well, no. Let's take that out of the equation. Because at press time, Trump has not pardoned him, and there's some questions about whether he even has the authority to do that.
I don't think he does.
But be that as it may, the idea that he's portraying this as a witch hunt against him is funny. But if you just take this sentence, if they can do this to me, they can do it to anybody. And what I'm saying is that if they can do what they did, which is pursue legal action and take things to court, and find you guilty.
In contempt of court.
If you are that person who has a clear history of racial profiling, abusively in a police department, I'm fine with that happening to anybody who does that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm fine with it happening to everybody who does
that. Yeah, your argument that if they can do this to me, they can do it to you. Like, I'm fine with that. I'm not doing that. I'm not committing race-based offenses. So, suck it, Joe.
Yeah, if they can convict me of a crime I committed, what's next? They're convicting other people of crimes they committed?
Yeah.
Come on, you don't want to live in that America.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to live in an America where people who commit crimes are fucking investigated and arrested for it.
And it's quite
good thing we don't live in that fucking America, Dan.
And it's quite frankly total bullshit that what he's being charged with is that contempt of court nonsense, because he deserves to be hit with so much more.
Absolutely.
But be that as it may, he thinks that there's something more going on. And he consistently refuses to tell Alex what he's talking about because he hasn't been pardoned yet. And he's worried about getting in more trouble about talking about the case publicly before he's in the clear. So he keeps saying, like, oh, there's more.
So he has a better lawyer than Alex did.
Yeah. He's like, there's more here, but I can't talk about it now. I'm not going to get into it. He just says that throughout the entire thing. And I love Trump. Those are the two things that he keeps hitting on. But he accidentally does let slip what he thinks is actually going on in this next clip.
Well, go after him, Sheriff. Do it. I mean, believe me, Trump's fighting. Tell us what you think about Soros, that Nazi collaborator.
Well, he went after me for illegal immigration, and he said the tents have to go. But there's another thing I'm not going to talk about now, why I feel he really went after me, and I'm not going to get into birth certificates right now. But this is a bigger subject matter.
You did just get into it. Like, he's saying, there's another reason why Soros hates me. I'm not going to get into it, but it's a birth certificate.
Yeah.
It's my bullshit about Obama, and how his birth certificate is allegedly fake, which it's not.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Are we still on that? Are we still on the birth certificate?
Joe is.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What a dumb fucking asshole. Well, and, serial killing piece of shit.
Well, and that's the,
he should go to a federal penitentiary until he dies.
Yeah, but that's the thing that, like, everyone, I'm not seeing enough recognition of this. People talking about, like, you know, what's the connection between Trump and Arpaio? They were the president and vice president of the Obama's birth certificate is fake club.
Yeah.
They were huge allies in that. And even Alex's whole bullshit about, like, Trump didn't know that Arpaio was being, taken to court and convicted. I don't believe that for
a fucking
second.
Until InfoWars and Drudge.
I don't believe that for a fucking second.
I do.
The two of them are allies.
To imagine that Trump has allies, to imagine that Trump gives a fuck about his allies,
that's
if
fair.
He does have them,
that's fair.
Seems insane to me. The only reason Trump
no,
cares.
No. I disagree. Okay. I think normal allies, yes, but this was a we are racists together
yeah.
allies. And I think that bond is different.
It was definitely an illegal immigrant or a we hate, anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We hate Mexicans. We hate everybody kind of. Well, anybody not white.
Well, I mean, like, I think bigotry bonds are the coward, hateful person's version of, like, being in a foxhole with someone. Because the two of them, they conceive of, like, the world around them being an attack on whites all the time, and needing to protect whiteness.
Right.
And so to them, there is kind of a war that they're in, and they're comrades in that. And I don't think that necessarily, I mean, I think that Trump would definitely pardon him if he can.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
And I think that a big part of that is because the two of them had that birther, war together.
I disagree. I think it's just one of those, it's another one of those things that he can see that his dumbass base, likes.
Mm-hmm.
Like that idea got floated out and you could see Fox News and InfoWars and all of those people start going, yeah, this is a good thing. Mm-hmm. This is a good man. This is definitely a serial killer that we like.
It's possible.
Like, and so it's just one of those things where, cause they have the same feedback loop wherein Trump says something, mm-hmm. Fox News says how it's a great idea, so Trump keeps talking about it. Or Fox News says this is a great idea, so Trump is like, well, the people who love me are gonna love this idea, and so he talks about it, and so on and so forth. They just bounce shitty ideas off of each other
yeah.
in order to distract people from the fact that they're burning the world.
Yeah.
They're burning the world.
Yeah, you may be right. Anyway, we'll never know for sure until it's too late, so let's move on. This next clip is a call to action for our international listeners.
Oh, no.
You'll know why as this clip goes on.
Oh boy.
He's great overseas. I think he knows more than any Secretary of State.
We haven't had a president like this in forever. They just love
That's
him overseas.
True.
But our media says everybody hates him.
They just love him overseas. If you are an international listener of Knowledge Fight, please send us an email at knowledgefight@gmail.com. Let us know. Do they love Trump overseas? Is that the sense you get? I would like to know. I would like to know because I am not overseas. I would like to know from the perspective of our listeners all over Europe and other places that are probably listening that haven't contacted me yet. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know. And if the answer is yes, please feel free to say that. That won't throw me off at all. I'm willing to integrate that information. If your perception is that, yeah, some people do like Trump.
Oh, I was going to say, if our listeners like Trump, that would throw me off quite a bit.
Oh, sure. But if
that would throw me off too. And it's, but if Sonia from Sweden says, you know, hey, a lot of people in Sweden do love Donald Trump,
Sonia's getting a lot of play on this episode.
Look, I like her name. I like Sonia.
It's alliterative too with Sweden.
But exactly.
We need
Sonia from Sweden.
We need to come up with other examples. But this next clip. Really?
Our friend's Outblinker.
Sure.
In Glasgow.
And, we have some other people in London and what have you. Paul Joseph Watson listens, from what I understand.
Oh, does he?
No. So this next clip is
he's actually a foreign policy wonk.
This next clip is really fucked up.
I've never felt such loyalty as I feel towards Trump. I just feel it's very empowering,
That's
actually.
That's bad! It's a bad thing!
I feel sorry for him, but you know what? He's tough. And I said this when I first introduced him 2 years ago in Phoenix. It was kind of an empty platform, a stage, if you know what I mean. He was running against 17 people. But you know what I said? He's going to be the next president. And I'm going to say something right now. My gut tells me he'll go down as one of the greatest presidents I've ever had in this country. Mark my words. When it's all over, that's what his reputation.
Stay there. Let's do a few more minutes. I know you got to go, Sheriff Arpaio. Legendary fight against tyranny. We're going to come back and talk about that, more of that, because you got cut off by the music. I want to talk about, I agree. I think if he delivers, he'll be as great as George Washington. There'll be a Trump monument, folks. It's bigger than Washington. This is it. This is real.
I look forward to tearing down that monument one day. But that's all bullshit. That's all such bullshit. That's crazy. And Joe Arpaio, consider your words marked. I will mark that down.
Do you know what's crazy?
What?
He genuinely does have a chance. And it's very simple. If Trump solves climate change, he will go down in history as one of the best presidents in history.
Well, there's a whole...
And do you know why? Because there will still be a history.
Well, there's a whole...
We won't have one if we don't actually solve climate change.
There's a whole list of things that he theoretically could do.
Right.
Like, he could solve the problem in the Middle East.
He could totally solve
climate change.
He could do that,
too. He could bring peace to the world. He could take us off planet. He could bring us life extension technology, the holographic med beds.
Right, right.
All of these things could be done, but they can't be done. For some of them, for other reasons, just... logistical reasons, but other ones are because he's not going to do them.
Right.
He's not going to solve climate change. He's not going to bring peace to the Middle East because those things are not in his agenda. They're not even things he's acting like he's going to do.
And they're not even things that you can do.
Not really.
Yeah.
So, look.
No,
this is so fucking pathetic on Alex's part because all he does is talk about, like, just jacks off about the founders and all this stuff about being a huge history buff. And if he does know anything about history, he can't possibly believe that Trump is going to be heralded as one of the greatest presidents of all time.
How could you?
Well,
what can you hang your hat on when you say that?
Well, the only reason is because he thinks he's going to defeat the globalists. That's it.
But even if he defeats the globalists, which, again, Alex has no end game for that. Defeating the globalists doesn't... defeating the globalists by itself doesn't set up an infrastructure.
No, but it does break everyone's brainwashing. And then we will know that climate change isn't real, and we should actually be putting more CO2 out. Because the atmosphere is carbon dioxide deprived. Then we'll all realize that it's all just a big tax scam, carbon taxes and what have you. And we won't have a bunch of pot-bellied pedophiles running around trying to take our kids. Bleh. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the idea that Trump is going to take down this imagined group of globalists, these 6,000 people, as Alex has said on the show before, who are taking down the world and trying to depopulate it and take away our sperms and what have you.
But, I mean, even if you,
but,
even if you
but,
agree with what Trump is doing, you have to admit that he's spectacularly bad at doing that. Like, even if you think what Trump is doing is what should be done.
Rope-a-dope.
He's not doing it.
Rope-a-dope.
He's just bad at everything.
Rope-a-dope.
I don't know how, well, you know.
Fifth dimensional chess.
You know, in honesty.
Rope-a-dope.
That may be what defeats us.
Rope-a-dope.
Like, for real. The fact that he's just doing so much so poorly all the time. It's hard to maintain any kind of resistance to it.
Sure.
Like you're so desensitized to his latest crime.
Yeah.
That it's like, well, we haven't done anything about it till now.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do something about it later until what?
Well, I think
what happens?
I think that, you know, it is easy to get distracted by whatever crazy shit he does every week or so.
Crimes.
It seems like it's almost on a schedule.
Yeah.
But everyone, I think, at least most people who, I don't know. I think a lot of people are just hoping that this investigation is progressing, and that it's gonna work out.
I think we're gonna have to do what they did in Seoul.
Just mob?
Just hundreds just of thousands
of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just down. Man.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, what killed Martin Luther King Jr. was he was going to march a million people on Washington.
Holy shit. Did you?
And they could not allow that to happen. That's what we have to do. It needs to be a million people. It needs to be all of the people.
Well,
and I just don't know.
I mean, we've had million man marches before. It didn't seem to work.
Yeah, but was it? I mean, I'm talking about camping.
Yeah.
Like, it's really what it is. We have to go there. And it has to be a legitimate
like a better
thing.
Occupy Wall Street.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, but even then, you know, where the world we're living in now, of course the National Guard would be called in.
Totally.
I mean, it would be a bloodbath.
You wouldn't almost need to have the National Guard, just these militias and the, you know, alt-right agitators.
Ugh.
Could do a lot of trouble. I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Anyway, we're going to skip this next clip because I don't want to listen to Joe Arpaio anymore.
I think we just, is there, like we need a flashpoint. We need some sort of leader. Like we do need a Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. We need somebody who can, we need a Fred Hampton. We just don't.
It's Jordan now.
It's definitely not me. I don't think people are going to rally millions behind a guy who's a soft no on white genocide. I don't think I'm the guy to do it.
I mean, at least it's a no.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I'm going to skip this next clip because it's just Arpaio saying that he and Trump are 95% in sync. And if that's the case, then Trump does not care about human rights.
No.
So that's a real bad thing to be saying on the air.
Justin Timberlake is 95% of NSYNC.
Oh, dude. I was going to make an NSYNC joke. I had it in my back
pocket. You had
it
locked and loaded?
I didn't really have an idea in mind, but I was going to bring up their song Digital Get Down.
What?
They had a song.
I've never listened to any NSYNC. They had a song named Digital Get Down.
It was on the No Strings Attached album.
Okay.
And it was called Digital Get Down, and it was all about having cyber sex. It came out in like 2002 or something. It's real embarrassing looking back.
I like it. Digital
Get Down.
I'm glad
just
that
you and me.
I'm glad they were reflecting my experience in 2002.
I think it had to do with like Skype sex too, because it was like, baby, baby, I can see you. Baby, 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 you can see me. There's a lot of babies in there.
That sounds like a lot of... They didn't have songwriters, so that means there was
I think
some...
they did.
No, I'm sorry. I meant they weren't songwriters.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that means that there's some guy who's just like...
Six babies.
Yeah. Yeah, thank God we have the dream now instead of these fucks.
Well, there was also, like, it was this weird period of time where people were talking about, like, essentially masturbatory acts in songs a lot. Because there was that other song about phone sex that had.
Oops, I did it again.
No, it was, I can't remember who it was. It was an R&B guy who was singing a song about sex on the line or something like that.
That's fun.
So there was like in the same year or so, there was Digital Get Down and that phone sex song. I'm like, what is going on? what is happening? Why is this the zeitgeist? I guess to be fair, let me be clear. Digital Get Down was not a single. I did have the album, so it might not have been in the zeitgeist.
It might not even have been on the album. You may just have made this entire, like, you were just trying to justify your own cyber sex, and you're just like, see, there's an NSYNC song. It's popular.
Oh, man.
Everybody's doing it.
Oh, boy. I gotta confirm now. I'm really freaking out.
I spent some time in the AOL chat rooms back in the day.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Here we go. NSYNC, Digital Get Down.
Don't play the song.
I'm not going to. I'd have to play it through the phone. You're safe for now.
Good. For now.
For now.
If that's our new intro, I'm going to kill you.
Digital Get Down.
If that's our new intro, my soft no becomes a hard yes on white genocide.
So, like I said, skipping this clip. We're going to move on now to post Joe Arpaio. You're lucky my internet's going slow. I was trying to pull up the lyrics. So Joe Arpaio's gone.
Our new button is Knowledge Fight, the podcast where Dan tries to make Jordan kill himself.
Or just Digital Get Down. That's kind of what this podcast is.
No, it's not.
I mean, different context.
No, it's not.
Different context.
Stop it.
This isn't cybersex.
Stop it, no.
But it is a get down. We're having a get down.
No.
And it's digital.
Nope.
It's coming through your ears.
No,
digitally.
Thank you. You did finally get the lyrics up, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Okay,
so, I told you earlier that we had to remember psychic goblins. Or these goblins.
Literal goblins.
Literal goblins.
Literal goblins.
I showed my cards a little too much. It turns out they're also psychics.
So literal psychic goblins.
Yes.
So we're well past Lord of the Rings territory.
Very.
Now we're getting into, maybe Warcraft?
This is a mic down clip, because you need to get all the nuance of it.
Okay.
There are literal psychic goblins.
Yes.
And then it gets into Alex Jones maybe almost was a globalist. And we need to hear all of it because we're going to need to parse this.
Okay.
Because it's real fucked up. This clip is fucked up.
But the ultimate pardon's when you die. Because we are all bad. And what you want is the big pardon. And man, I used to doubt that, but now I've lived a long time. Feels like 1,000 years, actually. And I have seen it's evil. When you hear the same thing out of somebody's mouth, the same weird stuff nobody else ever said in one city and you hear it in another and the person literally growls at you and you're like, this is Linda Blair. This is real. This isn't made up. This isn't somebody mentally ill. This isn't somebody acting. This is a damn demon. And the moment that happens to you, and somebody says something to you about something happened a month before that nobody knows, and you're looking at somebody who looks like a goblin and is talking and smiling and saying, we're going to get you, and they just said something nobody knows, you're like, what the hell's going on here? And the leftists all know this, but they're falling. They know this is all real. And that's where they're, oh, there's no God. There's nothing. It's all science. Oh, just go away. Let's have your kids, by the way. You know, because they only get let off the leash when they're brainwashing a kid, dumbing a kid down, ruining their innocence. That's kind of the low level. Then it's corrupt your child. Have sex with your child. Abuse your child. Kill your child. And they only, I've talked to top psychiatrists that treated Dahmer, all of them. I forget, she's a famous lady. She's on the History Discovery Channel. Heard her on Coast to Coast AM once. She's been on the show. What's her name? She's the doctor to psychopaths. And I said, you know, I saw it in the movie, the remake of The Manchurian Candidate with Denzel Washington, where he's not even alive until they give him the code words and everything's blazing white and he's alive and he feels great when he's carrying out the operations. And I said, I've talked to people and I've experienced it when I was a little bit younger and almost went that direction. Let's be honest with folks that it's like everything's white hot, everything's slow motion. And all there is a just evil. And I never was fully turned over to it, but just little glimpses of like, you could have this. And that's what they are. Psychopaths are like zombies that have nothing and are totally depressed and tortured and unhappy. It's not like they don't have feelings. That's all a lie. Inside of their world, they are tortured. And only when they've got a kid in a basement torturing them and they're begging for mommy do they even feel good. Then they feel really good. It's a drug. But other than that, they don't feel bad. So see, these writers and reporters and people, they don't even feel good till they're doing bad. And those are the deep secrets right there. Sounds really hardcore, but it's basically criminology. And it's the truth. That's why so many good men go to war, but then get seduced by the dark side. We'll be back.
We'll be back.
Why?
What?
What's why so many good men go to war and get seduced by the dark side?
I was hoping.
Why?
I was hoping you would understand.
Was it just all of that?
I guess.
Was it? Okay. Alrighty.
So, I relied on you.
You're looking
to take
for
notes.
The big pardon in the sky.
That's going to heaven.
Right.
That's the reprieve.
Then you see people who know things in different cities, so you know that it's true.
No, they know the same thing and they say the same
That's
thing
right,
to you.
In different cities.
Which might be, hey, fuck you, Alex Jones. I don't think that that's weird to hear in multiple cities.
That means they're possessed, though.
Right.
They're Linda Blair.
Right.
Okay.
Bah.
Then we got the goblins are telling you things months before anybody knows.
Yeah. No. The information is from like a month ago and nobody knows it. Like you stole a cookie or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know.
Alrighty. Is that what he's talking about?
Minor example, but yes, that's what he's saying.
I hear him say they know it before anybody else. Okay.
No, it's something from the past.
From your past.
No one knows.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alrighty.
And then they look like goblins and they're saying, we're going to get you.
Yeah.
This is schizophrenia.
No, that's normal.
Right.
That's absolutely normal.
All right.
Now, these are all leftists.
Right.
Of course.
And again, I'm sorry. The thing cut out there. when he's talking about the leftists.
Yeah, there was a skip.
All he said there was that the leftists are fallen. They all know this. They all know this stuff.
If we all know,
right,
that we are literal psychic goblins.
And clones.
And clones.
Right.
With five different parents.
Right.
And we are all 6'4".
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we doing this again?
Because we're fallen? I don't know.
Are we, like, No, that's still not why good men go to war and get seduced by the dark side.
So then the globalists want you to abuse your children.
Right. Well, that's the only time that the leftists, the goblins, are really let off their leash.
Yes.
Is when they get to torture children.
Yes. That's what cut out a tiny bit was the introduction to that idea.
Yeah.
The sort of transition between the psychic goblins
right.
and the leftists only feel comfortable when they're abusing.
Right. And then Denzel taught him about psychopaths.
Right.
In The Manchurian Candidate.
Now this is
which
what
he chose the remake.
Yeah.
All right.
This is what I want to talk a little bit more about, is that idea that Alex almost went down this path.
That's the thing that confused me.
Because I don't think it was Denzel's choice to be a Manchurian Candidate. I think that was being done to him.
I mean, Don't bring reality into this.
Well, am I
we're fighting literal goblins.
Am
Dan.
I correct? I
oh yeah, you're absolutely
okay.
correct.
I haven't seen the remake, but I assume.
No, it's the same plot.
Yeah.
He's being mind controlled.
Right.
In order to commit all these crimes.
Alex
and
Jones
then kill them. Yeah.
Must believe that at some point he was subject to mind control.
Possibly.
On that level.
Possibly.
No, I think he has to believe that. And
right.
then he could have gone along with it, but broke free.
Because he saw all the things that it could have gotten to him. So what he's really saying is that all the good men who go to war and then get seduced by the dark side are like him when he was a child,
uh-huh.
when he almost got seduced by the dark side
okay.
and what it could get him.
Right.
But now that we know this, we know that everybody who is good that goes into the military
mm-hmm.
is hypnotized.
Right, and they get seduced.
And they are all Manchurian candidates.
They get seduced by, and as he describes it, a bright light,
yep.
painful bright light.
Yep, hypnotists.
This is insane. This is schizophrenic hallucinations basically being described.
It sure sounds like it.
This is not.
It doesn't seem like it's any other explanation.
And we're getting back to that end of the March 30th episode kind of drunk here.
Yeah.
Like he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, absolutely.
His tone is changing. There is like a, there's also this oversharing sort of thing.
as usual.
Right. But I mean, like this stuff, he shouldn't be saying stuff like this on the air. This is really easy to see through. Like you're
yeah,
not,
but those are the deep secrets, Dan.
You're not using.
It sounds a little hardcore, but those are the deep secrets.
You're not using metaphorical language. You really think this?
Yeah.
This is something you believe. There are psychic goblins that are coming up to you and threatening you.
Right.
That is something that I think is relevant to his listeners. I think they should understand that this is a crazy person that they're listening to. And hey. If you want to listen to a crazy person for entertainment, God bless you. I've watched a lot of Steve-O videos in my day. That's fine. Not his stand-up. Other ones.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I get the entertainment value of someone who has a little bit wrong with them. That's most of stand-up, to be fair. But
agreed.
If you're going to be listening to a guy who believes that there are psychic goblins who are running around and attacking him or threatening him, and that a lot of people who disagree with him are clones with five parents, that are, you know.
They got no soul, baby.
They got no soul. I would suggest don't take political advice from that guy. Also, don't take economic advice from that guy. Also, don't buy his off-brand herbs and pills.
Oh, did you see that, the scientists went after Goop?
Great.
And, it's the same shit.
Great. No, I
mean, of course we knew that. Of course we knew that.
Yes, of course. But beyond that, I really need to impress upon people, this guy is not a political pundit. He may never have been, but boy, he is not now. He is a drunk and probably a mentally ill fucking lunatic. And I would not use those words about someone else who's struggling, but because he's such a dick, it has people like Alexander Dugan and Joe Arpaio on his show.
Yeah.
I'm pretty fine calling him a fucking lunatic dickweed. So I don't know.
Yeah, generally, as a mentally ill person, I usually try and take the side. You know, there's a lot of stuff that mentally ill people have to deal with that people who don't have mental illness don't have to do that. I hope Alex Jones gets hit by a truck twice.
It would definitely cure the schizophrenia.
It would definitely cure the schizophrenia.
And I wonder about that. I wonder about the brain damage that may or may not be there.
When was the last time he went to a doctor?
Dr. Group?
When was the last time he went to a real doctor?
Dr. Jerome Corsi?
When was the last time he went to a medical professional?
Rappaport?
When was the last time somebody who obtained a medical degree from a teaching university saw Alex Jones?
Like on the street?
I looked him in the eye. Alex Jones sitting on that little paper on the table.
Yeah. I would, I actually.
God, I want to see the physical results of Alex
Jones. I would
Alex
actually
Jones
like
just
to kind of bait Alex into suing us.
That'd be fun.
Because if he did, in discovery, I think we could demand that he have a psych evaluation.
That's probable.
Well, I mean, I guess in his divorce or the custody battle, they had a psych evaluation. The lady said that he has, like, a narcissistic personality disorder.
No, unless it was entirely about the show. Because if it's entirely about the show, then we can use clips.
Right.
Because it was in the divorce, they couldn't use the show.
Well, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm trying to find ways that we could trick him into going to see a doctor. Because even though I hate him, and even though I think he's done a lot of damage to the world, I think if he got treatment, he might be happier.
Yeah,
I think if he got on actual meds instead of his pills.
Yeah, what if his staff just slipped him antipsychotics every morning?
I wonder if he would be as focused on these imaginary globalists if he was getting treatment. Like, if he was actually on the medication he clearly needs, he wouldn't be seeing literal goblins everywhere. He probably would still have terrible reading comprehension skills.
Right.
So there's a decent chance he would still read, like, eco-science and think that John P. Holdren was saying that they're trying to taint the water supply.
Yeah.
But he probably wouldn't see demons all over the place. Probably.
Good or bad thing?
Well, I mean, we wouldn't have a show. So that's...
No, he's too far in. Yeah. Even if he stopped seeing literal goblins, he would still have to try and...
Well, that's what I'm saying. 10 years back.
Yeah.
Get him on those meds 10 years ago, and maybe he could have stayed just being a crazy anti-government
ranter.
Yeah,
he could have become Joe Rogan.
Sure. Nah, he's not funny enough.
No, that's definitely true.
And he's not curious.
That's definitely true.
Joe Rogan, for all his faults, I think one of the main reasons he's having these people on is a sincere curiosity about this group that everyone hates. And the unfortunate thing is his curiosity is leading him to validate them as opposed to understand why everyone hates them.
Instead of doing that, he could read the shit that they wrote.
That would be helpful if he did some research. But be that as it may, we have two more clips.
Okay.
And these two clips are fucking end of the night, sad, fucked up, drunk, just like...
Running out of gas, Alex.
This is Four Ways to Learn, Alex, to a T. Here, this first one is a sales pitch that is really sad.
I'm almost ashamed to come before you and say Fundus, but if you only turned loose the power you have financially, my job would be a lot easier. And I'm not complaining. You've already done so much. We sell the vests to supplements that are just things that everybody's deficient in. Most folks, real pure iodine your body can absorb. X2. I said the sale went in yesterday. I've got it right after this broadcast ends, and who's taking over? Owen Schroyer.
So I left that in, even though it's, you know, irrelevant to our interests, because Owen Schroyer will come back up in the last clip in one of the saddest fucking sentences I've ever heard Alex say.
That's
rough.
That was brutal.
And if people think that I'm...
That was disheartening.
Well, one of the things, too, is whenever I talk about Alex Jones being drunk, some of the qualifications that I give are this sort of shit, that tone right there, a lot of the other behaviors that we've pointed out, and then also he was drinking out of a suspicious cup during the show.
Gotcha.
Yeah, generally he'll have a coffee mug or something like that. He had a white paper cup.
Oh, that's the cup.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't really prove anything, but it is
weird. Might as well be a red Dixie cup.
It is a little bit weird. I don't know. Anyway, this last clip is a fucking bummer. And it's the end of his 3 hours. He's about to hand the baton off to Owen Schroyer. I actually don't think it's Owen Schroyer. I think Paul Joseph Watson did the fourth hour. He thinks it's Owen Schroyer who's going to do it, but it's PJ Dubs.
Gotcha.
But this is profoundly sad. It is a bummer. I still hate him. I don't give him any leeway. He gets no quarter, as it were. But one of the sentences he says in relation to Owen Schroyer, like I said, is you'll see.
I didn't get to a handful of these clips that everybody.
Oh, that's right. He's going to play the 77 minutes.
Sorry, I got it.
No problem. I just forgot that he was going to play the entire 77 minutes.
And he didn't play any of them.
And he didn't play.
No.
No.
Didn't play any of them.
Yeah. He didn't get to a handful of them. A handful of the 75 minutes. He did cover a couple of minutes.
No, I didn't get to a grip of these clips. So we're starting from the top here because you gotta fucking hear this.
I didn't get to a handful of these clips that, everybody did a great job, but I'm telling Owen Schroyer, don't be like me. Come on, play the 15 clips we've got. Comment on them. Talk about them. Get them all in. Because I want to take more calls, and I want to play the clips. I have them get all these great clips that are so important, and then I don't get to them. So that's all coming up in the next hour. Infowars.com has a lot of it posted, newswars.com. But just briefly here, InfoWarsStore.com. We are doing pretty good, but my gut tells me I've got to sue some people because they're cutting everybody else off and trying to cut us off, and I put up with
it. Go for
it. And just go, I'm doing okay right now, then I'm giving in to them. So I got to fight them.
Start suing. Please.
I'm not looking for a fight, but you know what? You're going to punch me upside the head. I'm going to get you. But I'm not going to just throw a punch and do nothing. I want to get a full uppercut when your mouth's open and break your teeth off. And if you need another measure, I'll punch you right in the throat. And if that doesn't do it, I'll stomp you on the head politically. And we kind of done all that, haven't we?
Yeah.
And we're beating the hell out of them. But they're coming back at us. And the knives they shove into me actually feel good. I'll be honest. I just want to make sure my heart keeps pumping all the way until I've squeezed the life out of their little chicken neck. Then I can roll over and die.
Please.
But we're going to beat these people. And as long as you financially support us, as long as you realize that they're trying to block us, our articles, our videos constantly, and that the act of you getting those out is victory over this trash, and that we're not just doing it in vain, that is so wonderful. We've won the marketplace of ideas. And that's why the globalists are coming after us, is because we didn't take the deal. We didn't get down on our knees so the devil could unzip his pants and do what he does.
That's what the devil does.
What's the devil do?
And the devil didn't just want to destroy everybody. I wouldn't fight so hard. But there's no giving
in. That where
he
keeps that golden violin?
Like there's no quarter. And it's not like you just give in, the devil kills you, and it goes away. He gets you forever. So
he
if
makes
you don't
you
want to be
him.
In that old farmhouse down in that basement with the devil pulling your teeth out forever, I suggest you do everything you can to beat these folks. And if not for yourself, for the children.
And that's code.
For the children.
And that's code for give me your money.
Yeah.
That's so
not
sad.
Not for yourself. That's such, like,
that's
he
pathetic.
Thinks he's, John Wayne in a cowboy movie. Oh, don't be like me.
Right.
I'm just fighting the good fight. You gotta be a better man than me, Owen Schroyer.
Well, there's
Owen
that.
Owen Schroyer, you gotta be the better man.
There's that. But then,
Owen, you gotta be a better man.
I think that there's actually a different thought going on in his head.
Yep.
I think he wants to look like that, but what he's actually saying, if you look at what he says immediately after, he's telling Owen Schroyer, don't be bad at your job. Get to the point, Owen Schroyer. Don't be
play
like
the
me.
Clips, take the calls. Do your job well.
I've been on the air for 3 hours, and I've mostly just drunkenly rambled about the devil. I said I was going to play a bunch of Trump clips. I said I was going to take calls. I just really talked to that one anti-Semite. I don't know what was going on. Don't be like me. Be better at your job. But I think there's even a further subtext of it, because what he does immediately after is go into a sad fucking sales pitch that also involves, we're doing pretty good, I'm gonna have to sue some people. So what he's also saying is, don't be like me, I have to run around trying to get all this money to fight the globalists. Be a newsman, Owen Schroyer.
Ugh.
Don't be like me, having to hawk water filters from Big Berkey, to make the bills come together. Don't do that. Be the fight. Fight the news fight. I can't do it. I don't have the skills. Spoiler alert, neither does Owen Schroyer. But
definitely not.
What he's, I think what he's saying is he's really internalizing the fact that he is just a fucking salesman. That all he does is get up and ramble about the devil and make shit up and scream about the globalists wanting to take your children to scare you just enough to keep you around so he can fucking sell you shit.
And threaten I think to stomp on your neck politically.
I think he realizes that. I think he realizes that his role is not a trusted, respected news person because he doesn't fucking talk about any news past a headline. So he knows. I think it hurts him. And in this fucking end of the show, noon drunk... Like, I think he's just getting to, like, Owen, don't do it this way. Don't do it this way. Even in the middle of fucking talking about how they're winning, he's still just like, at what cost?
Look at all my money. Look at all of it, Owen. You'll never have any of it. But look at it. You don't want it. All the money in the world doesn't make you a respected journalist.
The truth is I have five dads. And I have no soul, baby.
Ain't got no soul, baby.
What a fucking idiot. I feel really bad for him, but I also, at the same time, I don't care. So
no, I don't give a shit. Usually I can find some kind of sympathy in these whenever we, cause there's always that whiplash whenever we do some of these where it's like, I hope you die. Yeah. I hope you die right now. And then he does something and it's like, you're just a sad, broken shell of a man.
Well, he is.
But then I remember that he's fucking calling Karl Rove a Down syndrome midget.
Yeah.
As though he said midget retard.
Yeah.
Which, two words that shouldn't be used.
No, and
that are offensive singularly and horrific. Back to back.
Yeah, and covering for his biggest political ally who goes around calls everyone Negroes.
Yeah.
And shit like that.
Yeah. And he defended Joe goddamn Arpaio!
Stop.
Hey,
you're right.
Sorry.
But stop.
Sorry.
It's late.
I understand.
So, anyway.
And he defended goddamn Joe Arpaio.
There you go.
Dan.
There you go.
Dan, don't be like me.
I won't.
Don't shout. Don't get angry at things.
I try not
just
to.
Just be your cold, detached, heartless self. Just don't.
I'm sorry. That got weird. Now I'm the one who's drunk and sad.
Speaking of cold detachment, if you'd like to be cold and detached, you can go to our website, knowledgefight.com.
That is a great transition.
I'm not entirely sure it's accurate, but.
Nope.
We have our website, knowledgefight.com.
I think if you're going to Knowledge Fight or doing, if you're engaging with us, to me, that signifies that there is, I would assume, something that you deeply, deeply care about.
Or you're a mess.
Or
one of the two. But anyway, regardless.
Or you like us, which we're messes, so great.
Yeah.
We're all in this together, cats.
On knowledgefight.com, we got a lot of stuff up there, a lot of other content you can find, some writing and stuff. Also, there's a button that says support the show. If you want to click that, you can become a policy wonk.
Absolutely. We're going to get the second round of buttons sent out here very shortly.
And we have a live show coming up at North Bar in Chicago on the 9th of September at 9 o'clock.
It's on the 9th of September at 9 o'clock?
999.
That sounds very easy to remember, Dan.
999.
Dan, could you say that for me one more time?
It's Herman Cain's tax plan. That's why we're doing the show.
That's why we're doing it.
Herman Cain, that's the trick. Baby.
That's the trick.
The guy who Roger Stone called Mandingo.
Ugh.
Yeah.
God.
So also if you
follow us on Twitter at @knowledge_fight.
Or on Facebook.
If you see Joe Arpaio, you know what to do.
Yeah, kick him in the balls.
Kick him right in the balls.
Also, you can find us on iTunes. Please follow, subscribe, give us a review. It'd be great. We really appreciate it. We'll get a picture up there one of these days.
Absolutely. If you want to lead millions of people and march to the Capitol House, camp out there until something is actually done about our horrible, criminal, monstrous president and his kleptocratic cronies run by the fucking Russian government at this fucking point.
I'm excited to see
if you
want to
do all of these things. If you want to do all of these things, please do. And I will send you a button for sure.
Look, also, I know we're at the end of the thing and we usually do a bit.
Do we do a bit?
I gotta go to the bathroom though, so.
I can't.
I'm gonna cut this short and just say, John Rappaport, go fuck yourself.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.